28 weeks pregnant, you know what I'm going to take? Some Tylenol, acetaminophen.
When they approved Tylenol, just like aspartame the same year, they couldn't believe it. It eats your liver. When you take it, when you're having a baby, when a woman's pregnant, it literally blocks all sorts of cellular growth, including the brain. The reason it kills pain is it shuts things down, and it destroys the blood-brain barrier while it's growing.
As pregnant leftists gleefully down doses of Tylenol purely to spite the guidance from the Trump administration, President Trump's visit to the UN General Assembly to address the globalist horde was nothing less than sabotage.
And I don't mind making this speech without a teleprompter, because the teleprompter is not working. I feel very happy to be up here with you nevertheless, and that way you speak more from the heart. I can only say that whoever's operating this teleprompter is in big trouble.
The sabotage followed reports of UN staff joking about pranks to embarrass Trump due to U.S. funding cuts, which have caused a severe U.N. budget crisis.
Afterwards, the Bolsonaro guys told me when Bolsonaro's there, because Brazil traditionally always goes first. They were supposed to have a car service pick him up in his security. They never sent it. He had to hustle up from his hotel and just barely got there. Got there, in fact, a few minutes late.
I'm sorry, I'm the president. I'm really sorry. It's just that everything's in frozen right now. There's a border gate coming right now.
The White House, citing the suspicious timing and staff chatter, demanded an investigation, while the UN attributed the issues to technical glitches and a U.S.-managed teleprompter, denying any deliberate acts. The backlash will be historic and devastating.
Why don't we pull all the money, not just from the dog and pony show in New York? That's the main stage. I'm talking about from Geneva. Pull it all. Every penny of it. We don't need it. We don't want it. The CCP runs it. A bunch of incompetents from the second and third world, always being big shots. Don't care about the Security Council. Walk away from all of it and shut it down.
But the UN globalist swine just can't get enough.
The institutions and frameworks of global governance, from the Security Council to the Bretton Woods system, were created 80 years ago. We can't build a future for our grandchildren with a system built for our grandparents.
Meanwhile, security concerns escalated when the U.S. Secret Service announced the dismantling of a massive illicit telecom network in the New York area. Just hours before the session, the operation uncovered over 300 SIM servers and 100,000 SIM cards capable of jamming cell phone networks, disrupting 911 calls, and enabling surveillance, potentially targeting the assembly's communications within 35 miles of the UN headquarters. The identity of the would-be saboteurs has yet to be revealed, but this is not the first incident of its kind. In Los Angeles in July of 2025, South American illegal aliens linked to transnational crime rings used cell and GPS signal jammers during multi-million dollar jewelry heists to block victims' calls to law enforcement and cut fiber optic lines, disrupting 911 and internet services for over 1 million customers, including hospitals. In March of 2025 in Washington, D.C., unauthorized cellular modems were installed at U.S. ports and borders without contracts, posing risks for data interception and network spoofing, while multiple officials' cell phones were compromised by foreign adversaries using unsecured apps like Signal, enabling keystroke monitoring and data breaches of sensitive information. As protests over the Israeli-Palestinian conflict raged outside, Syria's interim president, Ahmed al-Shara, former al-Qaeda warlord and leader of Jabhat al-Nusra, sought sanctions relief and international support for Syria's reconstruction, UN zealots gleefully allowing the jihadist snake to enter its den of iniquity. Meanwhile, Mike Cernovich raged against the Secret Service's pathetic response to the sabotage of President Trump at the United Nations, warning that this was no glitch. It was a globalist setup to probe Trump's defenses. The United Nations is a glorified pit of hell. Sever all ties and shut its New York offices down. American sovereignty will be far better off. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Your body faces new challenges in a bioengineered world. That's why Alex Jones brings you Ultimate Life Force, a triple-action spike protein detox designed to help clear harmful toxins, support your cellular defenses, and restore full body recovery. Packed with powerful ingredients, Ultimate Life Force is formulated for strength, resilience, and renewal. Detox. Defend. Recover. Take control of your health with Alex Jones's Ultimate Life Force.
Fentanyl, the dragon left China and flew to hang out with Alex and try something new. He landed in Texas, they barbecued steaks, and after they ate, they cleaned the dishes and plates. Alex jumped on his back and they flew to the store to get some supplements that you can't ignore. He got Ultimate Life Force and Methylene Blue, then he paid with a war bond that was crispy and new.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Thursday evening. Glad you're with us here. We got so much to cover. We got, of course, World War breaking out, or rather being forced to break out, as they're doing everything they absolutely can to bring Russia into full-fledged war with NATO, as we've been reporting for the last 2 years. But, you know, starting a world war, it's a big project, and they've been putting things in place. And now they're ready to activate some of the false flag measures to convince NATO that such a decision to go to war with significantly more powerful foe is in any way wise. And again, I just want Europe to think real carefully about their whole situation right now and what exactly they're capable of. And if that category of things includes waging war against the largest land nation in the world. And of course, Alex has pointed out, it's sort of a thing to try to go to war with Russia and to lose your empire and your life because of it. Napoleon did it. Hitler did it. And it's kind of funny because every time one of these things happen, the next guy that tries it different than the last guy. And it still doesn't work. Operation Barbarossa, Hitler's invasion of Russia, failed pretty much entirely because he was superstitiously terrified of doing what Napoleon did. And so he refused to march on Moscow. And that may have changed the outcome of the war. But you have to know. I mean, if you're a general in Europe, you have to know what happens when you try to invade Russia with the land force. It doesn't work. Russia retreats forever. It's how it works over and over again. They just pick up shop, move a little bit further into the tundra, and you can't pursue them forever. You will die. So it's just not a good idea. Now, that obviously changes with the technological capabilities that we have now. Moscow is not exactly outside of striking range, as we've seen demonstrated over and over. So it may be a little bit different, but I would look to history, because it's not just Napoleon and Hitler. It was Genghis Khan. It was the Huns. I mean, time and time again, empires, the tide of empire washes up to the border of Russia and then dissolves and collapses. It really happens over and over again from both directions. Now you've got the Muslims, you know, trying to invade and getting stopped in Kiev over and over and over again. The Russians are very tough people. But things aren't looking good. Things are not looking good. On that front, we've got this emergency meeting by Hegseth with all of the generals. We'll look into that and see what that is all about. But again, like we've been saying, it doesn't matter if it is a suicidal endeavor. It doesn't matter if the vast majority of people don't actually want to go to war with a nuclear-armed superpower for no discernible reason. Certainly not the behest of the little coked-out gremlin, Zelensky. It doesn't matter. They're going to do it anyway. They're going to try to start this war anyway. And once you're in the war, well, you're in the war, right? It's going to be hard to, you know, be against the war when Russian bombs start falling. It's the beauty of the false flag. The only thing that's false about it is the flag. The attack is real and you do have to respond to it. So I would be looking for some sort of major false flag in the very near future. And if I were a betting man, or if I were Europe, the way I would do it is I would hack the controls of a Russian jet and I'd fly the Russian jet over NATO airspace and then I'd shoot it down. That's what I would do if I was NATO. So I'd look for that. And that is what they're signaling. That's basically what they're saying. They're saying if a Russian jet goes over European airspace, then they will shoot it down. And Russia is saying if that happens, then it's World War III. Of course, Russia is basically saying NATO has already declared war against Russia. That's at least how they're treating it. That's how they're approaching this entire conflict. But yeah, if I had to guess, I would say something like that, maybe in the offing, because wouldn't that be a brilliant maneuver? I mean, we know it's possible. We know that American drones have been hacked by Iran. Remember, there was a couple years ago, they claimed that Iran shot down a drone, and then it later came out images of the drone on a landing strip in Iran. They didn't shoot anything down. They didn't destroy anything. They hacked it and told it to land in their airspace, and they captured our drone that way. Anything controlled by remote control is hackable. Absolutely anything. So drones, obviously, with no pilot, but even Air Force jets can, of course. You know, they all have autopilot. That can be hijacked. Hell, your car can be hijacked. So you don't think they can hijack a jet, especially if, you know, they've got people inside working on it and who know the systems, the Russian systems, which I'm sure we have all that information. So if I had to guess, I would say that would be one false flag that they could carry off. The problem with that is it's not, doesn't have the oomph. It doesn't have the convincing level of destruction, I guess you would say. I talked about this with Nick yesterday. As I play it out in my head, for one thing, I have very little confidence in the American people's ability to see through a psyop. This, of course, as a consequence of repeated examples of the American people failing to see through the most obvious psyops of all time, things like COVID-19, right? You look forward and you go, you know, us avoiding World War III is probably going to be dependent on the American people's ability to see through a psychological operation. And then you think back to 5 years ago and you think back to COVID-19. You think back to 2 weeks to slow the spread. You think back to face masks and mail-in ballots, 6 feet social distancing. And you think, yeah, we're going to fall for it. We're absolutely going to fall for this if and only if the false flag or whatever the incident is that brings us into World War III is overwhelming and catastrophic. Again, that's just if I'm thinking like the evil people and I'm looking at America right now and I'm going, yeah, they look like they want to fight each other more than they want to fight anybody else. And it looks like if something happens, their first reaction is to blame Israel. That's not what we want. That's not a great thing. And I guarantee you right now, they are running these simulations through quantum AI simulations to determine what is the most effective means of convincing the American people to go to war. Now, a fighter jet being shot down, that's not going to convince very many people. Now, they might do it anyway. Again, this is how they operate. They want to go to war with Russia. They're going to go to war with Russia. And they'll just do something that they can pretend is the casus belli. Even if everybody knows it's fake, it doesn't matter. All of the media is controlled. All of the media is in their pocket. They will report it as if it's fact. And 50 years from now, it'll be in the history books. So that's how they operate. That's the timeline in which they plan things. And so it doesn't even matter to them, you know, whether or not you really believe it. They just need a convincing enough story for the media to say over and over again. Yeah. Imagine these people, you know, standing up against a 9/11 style psychological operation. Never happen. It'll never happen. But that would be the level we would need. I genuinely think we would need a 9/11 style attack. Again, I'm saying this because it's the last thing we need. It's the thing we should be on guard for. But if there's a dirty bomb that goes off in an American city, I mean, if they kill 10,000 Americans, do you think that the anti-war sentiment would withstand the flow of emotion that would come from after that? I think if they did something that really struck people to the bone, like a 9/11, something that just, you know, an image that was seared into people's minds of innocent people being slaughtered by the thousands, that's what they need, I think, to really kick off World War III. And that, again, is just me playing it out in my head and going, all right, if 9/11 happened today, what would happen? And if it's a smaller scale thing, if it's a jet being shot down, or maybe even like, you know, a naval ship blown out of the water off the coast of Iran. So, you know, something like that. I think most people's first response would be to call BS, say we don't believe it, and immediately be on the guard for war. If, however, there is some unprecedented, traumatizing, horrifying image of thousands of people dying, I don't think they would have the barest resistance to going to war with anybody they pointed the finger at that point. So be on guard for that. Be aware of that. And that's all I can really, that's the only advice I can give you is just, that's obviously what they're planning. We know their playbook and they're running it. So it's pretty simple. Now we do have some breaking news and some breaking updates, specifically about the sniper attack yesterday on the ICE facility. Just the latest in a string of orchestrated, organized Antifa assaults against ICE facilities in Texas in particular. This one again in North Texas. We have some updates to this. There was a press conference just minutes ago. We'll go first to clip number 39. This is the U.S. Attorney for Northern Texas saying Dallas ICE sniper left letters explaining what his ideology was in case we had any question. And he's a overweight, scrubby looking idiot shooting bullets at ICE facility. Gee, I wonder what side of the aisle he lands on. Let's go to the press conference now.
He also hoped his actions would give ICE agents real terror of being gunned down. And he did this to induce constant stress in their lives. He hoped his actions would terrorize ICE employees and interfere with their work, which he called human trafficking. And this, what he did, is the very definition of terrorism. Again, his notes reveal, yes, it was just me and my brain. And he said, good luck with the digital footprint. And of course, we take this to mean that he deleted evidence from his devices. His words were definitively anti-ICE. That said, we did not find evidence of membership in any specific group or entity. Nor did he mention any specific government agency other than ICE. Among his papers, though, was a handwritten note in which, in crude words, he expressed his hatred for the federal government.
Oh, so he's a right winger. Okay, so he will now be on the ADL's list of right wing attacks, obviously, because he said he hates the government. And that obviously means he's right wing. I'm not even being facetious. I bet this guy is declared a right-wing terrorist by the ADL, which, of course, there is a phenomenon in the left wing, and it you see examples almost on a daily basis, certainly on a weekly basis. I am still trying to figure out the mechanism by which they disseminate these talking points, but there's an aspect of it that is a dedication and a subservience to authority that is, well, I don't even know if it's that. I'm not even sure. What I'm talking about is this ability of the left to put out a phrase, put out a sentiment, put out a statement that almost by just like osmosis, everybody in America who either is on the left and is repeating it because they sort of know that it's BS, but they don't care because it's just a talking point for them. But for the vast majority of people, they just absorb it, and it doesn't even – I don't know how they do it. They bypass consciousness, and they just implant ideas in people's heads. It is kind of amazing, actually, when you think about it. We'll go to a video in a little bit to explain this, because I got another video about this shooter. But so I'll save it. I'll save it for just a second. Megyn Kelly debated this guy, and he put out the, you know, well, 70% of violence is right wing. And – you know, there's 1,000 different surveys judging by 100 different metrics, what violence is committed by who and how you grade it. And, you know, you would think there would be maybe a conversation, a debate, a spectrum in which they would make claims. But no, they all say exactly the same thing. They all cite exactly the same study with exactly the same words. And that's it. And that's the only study that exists. And it is the authority. It is the ultimate truth. And they can just assert that and ignore you and whatever your response is. And they do it over and over again. And I was trying to think of other examples because there have been a ton recently. Charlie Kirk would be another one where, and again, it would be less amazing if it was true. If the things that they said were true, then it would make sense why they're all saying it. Everybody's saying the truth. Kind of like how I don't have to watch Alex's show. We're going to be aligned on things because we're both going for the truth and we're both pretty good at finding it. So we're both going to land at the same spot and we don't need to coordinate or go off the same talking points to both arrive generally in the same area. So it'd be different if what they were saying was true and they all just arrived to it from whatever source and whatever pathway gets them there, but they're all saying the same thing because it's true. How do they get everybody to say the same thing that's untrue? How do they do that? How do they get everybody, including like my mother-in-law, to be like, well, didn't Charlie Kirk say that dead people was the small price to pay for the Second Amendment? And it's like, no, he never said that. But everybody thinks he does. But everybody on the left will say exactly the same thing. And it's a quote that does not exist. Or if it does exist, is so out of context that it's just completely fallacious anyway. So how do they do that? I'll tell you what it is. First of all, it's dishonesty. They know that what they're saying is false. I mean, it's just, I have trouble believing that people are really looking around the world today and seeing little Catholic school kids be shot up by trannies and Charlie Kirk being assassinated in cold blood and everybody celebrating it only to turn around and go, the right wing has a real problem with violence. Like, they're full of crap. They're full of nonsense. They're not telling the truth. Okay. So that's part of it. The other part is again, I think it's almost like unconscious, subconscious loyalty and adherence to the dictates of the master, of the authority. Because it makes no sense why they say these things with such confidence and such, such authority and such supremacy to them. When they say things like, I'm sure people listening to this have had this conversation many times, where they'll call Trump a convicted rapist or they'll call him a rapist. You say, he's not a rapist? What are you talking about? And they go, actually, he was found liable for rape. Okay, what does that mean? What does that mean? What that means is that somebody accused him of rape. Then he said, that's crazy, I never raped them. Then the person who claimed that sued him for defamation. But in order for defamation to apply, he would have had to have raped her. And so in order for the defamation case to go forward, the judge simply asserted that the accusation was true. He was never tried for that. He was never put on trial. No evidence was ever presented. He never got to make a counterargument. It was just asserted by a judge, by some activist in judge robes, simply declared Trump is now a rapist, and that is now implanted in the heads of every single left-winger. It is utterly baseless. It's literally just the assertion of an authority figure, and that is the gospel to them. And it's interesting, and it's bizarre how capable they are of getting these messages into people's minds. It's crazy. It really is. Fascinating and horrifying in a way. Yeah, E. Jean Carroll. Insane. Insane. Never charged with rape. Never convicted of rape. Never even, like, never indicted. Never went to a courtroom. Obviously never got a chance to, argue back against the claims and provide counter evidence. Or his own witnesses. Nope. Never happened. Didn't need to happen. They simply assert it. Just like with InfoWars. I don't know how many times online I hear, well, Alex Jones he had a jury and he was found guilty of defamation. And it's like, no, he wasn't. No, actually, that was all a big show. It was a default judgment. Like, well, he should have just followed the orders. It's like, you just have no idea what you're talking about. You have no idea. But boy, that doesn't stop them being as confident as people who do know what they're talking about. Anyway, we'll get back to that because it is an important topic. Just figure out what's going on with the brains of our enemies. Let's go now to clip number 37. This is another update. Officials confirming the Dallas ICE shooter used one of these famous ICE tracking apps whose only purpose is to actually facilitate the attacks like we saw yesterday. Let's watch.
Charles, I am the ICE executive associate director for enforcement and removal operations. The attack on ICE's Dallas field office yesterday was tragic. And while our hearts and prayers are with the family of the detainees who were shot, the evidence is clear that this was intended as an assault on ICE personnel who come to work every day to do their job. Violent rhetoric has led to over 1,000% increase in assaults on ICE officers, and it has to stop. In contrast to those who would demonize our men and women, yesterday our brave officers ran back into danger, along with ATF, our partners, to save the detainees while shots were still being fired. Those ICE officers just showed the world who they really are. Law enforcement officers who want the best for our country. That's ICE. Integrity, courage, excellence. They were willing to put their lives on the line to pull detainees out of the transport van to get them to safety. They are heroes, and I hope the media has the integrity to shine a light on this story. Enough is enough with the harmful lies and violent rhetoric. It has to stop. The shooter used the ICE tracking apps. Anyone who creates or distributes these apps that is designed to spot, track, and locate ICE officers are well aware of the dangers that they are exposing to law enforcement. It's a casting call to invite bad actors to attack law enforcement officers. It's no different than giving a hitman the location of their intended target, and this is exactly what we saw happen in Dallas yesterday. The media has been amplifying these apps even as we warned them it would only lead to more attacks on law enforcement. We truly wish we didn't have to say, I told you so, but here we are. ICE continues to prioritize the safety and security of our personnel, detained aliens, and facilities. We will do everything possible to increase security to counter the increased wave of these lethal attacks. Again, we call on those who foment violence and vilify our law enforcement officers to cease the dangerous rhetoric. We also call on law-abiding Americans everywhere to report any suspicious activity. The individual that was out there yesterday shooting at our agents and our officers was trying to take the lives of law enforcement people doing their job. Instead, he killed a detainee and shot two others. That is something that's unacceptable. The rhetoric that's out there on social media, the rhetoric that is being said by some community leaders in other states, needs to stop. There's been an increase in violence against ICE agents, not only in Texas and Dallas, but across the country in violent protests. Again, I ask everybody, just stop. Thank you.
All right, so apparently the shooter that tried to kill ICE agents yesterday had used one of the ICE app tracking apps that shows the location of ICE raids for this exact purpose, and ostensibly to allow illegal immigrants to evade capture. And this guy says he's fighting human trafficking. He is literally trying to kill the people who are devastating the human traffickers, who are actively going after and rescuing 25,000 children in the last 9 months. Those are the people he thought were human traffickers. Hey, remember when Parler got kicked off the App Store and the Google Store because January 6th had people there that were also on Parler? Not like they were planning anything on it or anything, but it got taken out of all the stores. How do these same app stores have an app whose only purpose is to evade or try to kill law enforcement? Oh, right, because that's what they want. Of course, they're going to let it on there.
I was not trying to do a product placement thing here. We're at Rex's 23rd birthday. And with my dad and mother, Dad, we're so proud of you. Great job, the Sergeants. Thanks for all your prayers for my dad. But, Mom, you were literally without me soliciting. You've been on colostrum now 2 months. And we have the very best at theoltershore.com. And I'm serious. I didn't bring this up.
I don't ever do testimonials, but I have been on the colostrum for about 2 or 3 months. And a back problem that I've had since Alex was born is almost completely gone after 50, however many years. And my hair is much thicker than it has been. And I have good hair anyway, but it's much thicker. And this... it's brand new.
Turned darker.
And darker. Beautiful.
Who's the convention you take it? Steve Heinberg or something?
It was Mary Heinberg.
Yeah, they're really smart. They're listeners. Mom, you got to listen. The products are amazing.
Well, this one, like I said, I don't do testimonials. There's a lot of good products. This is the first one that I can go, whoa, it really does what
it's funny. I didn't even know the Heimbergs, I guess, because Steve and Mary, like a year ago, your house, like, you need to sell this. So we started, and we got the best brand. It's the strongest. It's no joke. The first 2 weeks of mammals, milk is totally different. It's like magic.
That back problem was from when you were born. I have a pinched nerve or something. I never really know what it was.
No, you can blame my whole life.
And it has bothered me. And I just go through the pain because if you're going to have it, you're going to have it, right? There's nothing to do about it.
Well, I haven't asked you this yet. Have you taken the methylene blue yet?
No, I'm scared of that.
Really?
I'm scared it'll make me like Roseanne Barr. Not that she's not wonderful. Just kidding.
You're afraid you'll be... No, she came on the show like 6 months ago. She said, I don't know if I can do it. She just felt sick. I gave it to her. She was bouncing off the walls 30 minutes later.
Well, you know, for some people, a generic supplement choice that's less, you know, radical than methylene blue, which is incredibly powerful, might make more sense. Something like a methyl drive, a power plant, ultimate burn even. But especially if you're talking about younger people, methylene blue is radically powerful.
Absolutely. And then we've got the beauty queens. Love you, Charlotte. So you just saw a quick video I shot at dinner Sunday night with my parents and my four amazing children. I'm sitting there at dinner, and my mother starts talking about how great her hair looks and how great her skin is and how healthy my dad is because of bovine colostrum. And I go, oh, yeah, where'd you get that? 3 months ago, we got in the test samples. We've been selling it for 2 months. We have the very best. I went and gave them a few canisters. They're like, oh, yeah, that is your bovine colostrum. The first 2 weeks of what a mammal puts off is so incredible. It's just all these super nutrients, your immune system. It's really mother's growth hormone, natural growth hormone, healthy. That's what it is from the cow. We have the best at thealexshowstore.com, discounted right now. And I am so excited about this because we did a survey a year ago to the alexshowstore.com customers and said, what do you want? They said, we want bovine colostrum. We finally got it in, and the reviews are insane from listeners. The only thing that's getting better reviews, literally 5 stars, only 4.5, is our ultramethylene blue. So get ultramethylene blue, the best methylene blue, at thealexshowstore.com right now, and bovine colostrum with a bunch of other super nutrients that supercharge it right now, and it funds this operation. And regardless of what happens to InfoWars, I don't own thealexshowstore.com. So it's funding the Alex Jones Network at AJN Live on X and other places. So they shut the studio down. We have backups. Thanks for your support. Go now to thealexshowstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Peeling back the layers of the day's events to reveal the core truth. War Room with Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. Brought to you, of course, by TheAlexJonesStore.com, TheAlexJonesStore.com, your one-stop shop for health, fashion, patriotism, everything that makes a body and a nation healthy. And right now you can get Ultimate Creatine Powder. It's the micronized creatine monohydrate powerhouse recommended by Alex Jones. This formula delivers 5 grams of premium creatine per scoop to fuel explosive workouts, accelerate recovery, and sharpen your mind. Ultimate Creatine fuels muscle gains, forging a leaner, stronger physique. Creatine boosts ATP production, enhancing muscle energy for hypertrophy during high-intensity lifts. Creatine also sharpens focus for complex mental tasks. Creatine supports brain phosphocreatine, boosting cognitive energy under stress. It also, of course, can increase your workout intensity, accelerate your recovery. It is explosive with power. It's Ultimate Creatine at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Get it today. One of our newer products that I imagine is going to be a bestseller, considering the fact that so many of our audience, practically all of them, are just practically bodybuilders. Everybody out there is stacking on the muscle and training with everything they've got because they know They know what the situation is that we're in. Maybe I should do that. Maybe in the same way that Alex has been losing weight, maybe I should put on some weight. Maybe I should put on some muscle. I'm like Alex. I used to be ripped in high school too. I've let myself go in the other direction. Maybe I need to take creatine and start pumping iron, but I'm not going to do that. So, but you should, you should take creatine workout. I just don't lift weights. That's not conducive to my, mental faculties. I rebel against it. We have so much to talk about. I mean, I don't even know where to start. We've got YouTube saying they're letting people on and then taking us down again. We've got Trump meeting with a murderous ISIS commander, Al-Qaeda warlord that now runs Syria. And I guess we'll start with that. I think maybe we should start with that because here's a dichotomy that I think should explain kind of everything about the way the world works. We've got this guy, Al-Jolani, now calls himself Al-Shara, the president of Syria, being welcomed with open arms, giving a speech at the UN. Now, Syria was not allowed at the UN for 60 years. For 60 years, they were excluded from the international community, but now they're welcomed in. Why? Because they now have an Al-Qaeda, ISIS, head-chopping warlord as their dictator. And he's shaking hands with President Trump and First Lady Melania. He's giving speeches at the UN. Meanwhile, there are pogroms going on in Syria. There are ethnic cleansing campaigns against Christians throughout the ancestral Christian homeland. Y'all know Syria was like one of the first places ever to be Christian and had like, I believe, multiple of the first major churches. Where's Antioch? Isn't Antioch in, or that's in Turkey? Damascus, I'm pretty sure, was one of the first churches. This is a historically Christian place. The Christians that are there have been there since the time of the apostles, but they're being driven out now. They survived 2,000 years of Muslim conquest. They survived 60 years of Bashar al-Assad's brutal dictatorship we keep hearing so much about. But I don't know if they'll survive a year under this new leader because I don't know if I've mentioned this. He's a member of ISIS. So yeah, they're doing ISIS things because they're ISIS now. Thanks, Turkey. Thanks, NATO. Well done. And we've got videos of this. Clip number one, Islamists have reportedly started fires that are burning villages belonging to Christians and other religious minorities. Let's watch clip number one here. You see fires sort of as far as the eye can see. A landscape ablaze. That's where the Christians used to live. They probably won't be there for that much longer. Clip number two, we can go right into that. This is, again, the Christian population in Syria has been decimated. Used to be 3 million before we got involved. Before America decided that Bashar al-Assad was, you know, worth starting World War III to expel from office, because obviously Syria played a major role. It was the highway between Iran and Lebanon. So it was a very crucial in the axis of resistance for Hezbollah to be supplied by Iran. Syria needed to be their partner. And that's what all of this was about. So we had to take out Syria. Now, prior to us taking out Bashar al-Assad, there were 3 million Christians protected by the Alawite leadership. Now it's 300,000 and rapidly declining. Let's go down to clip number two. This, again, the Christian population in Syria decimated from 3 million to less than 300,000. You can see the villages burning from an account at Orthodox_Syria. And, yeah. Simultaneous to this, the leader of this country is giving a speech at the UN. There are, as we speak, Christian villages being burned by the radical ISIS-aligned conquerors of Syria, and the leader of that country is being welcomed like a hero at the UN. He's shaking hands with Donald Trump while in his country, Christians are being literally burned out of their homes. Kind of typical, isn't it? Kind of exactly what you would expect from a world run by Satan. So smoke filling the sky as fire tears through the farmland of the Christian communities in Syria that, as I've said, have survived 700 years of Muslim conquest, 60 years of Bashar al-Assad, only to be utterly decimated by American intervention, and now the American-crowned Mossad agent/FBI/Al-Qaeda /future enemy of America, Al Shara. Let's go finally to clip number three. This is the leader of the Syrian Catholics, I believe, calling out for help from all of us Christians around the world. Wouldn't it be nice if we had some solidarity with our fellow Christians? Wouldn't it be nice if we had just one, you know, percent, one little inkling of the solidarity that other religions are able to have for their co-religionist? Have you even heard of these groups in Syria? Do you know that they're being destroyed? Has this desperate plea for assistance made its way through church groups in America? Why not? Why not? Why isn't every single Christian in America sharing these videos and crying out for intervention on behalf of Christians? I don't even know if intervention is a good idea, but you would think that there would be calls for it. You would think that there would at least be concern that the man shaking hands with Donald Trump and Melania Trump and giving a speech at the UN is presiding over the ethnic cleansing of Christians in their homeland. Let's go to clip number three now. He says, we are not minorities. We are components of this Syrian country. And we have been living together for hundreds of years, this part of the land. We and our Druze brothers here, and we live with them. Ask the U.S., Europe, the Vatican, the whole world for international protection for this region of Swadia, of all of it, for us and our Druze brothers. We beg you. We condemn every criminal act. We are advocates of peace, my dear ones. We reject takfir and reject all of this. All of it is condemned for us. And we want international protection from you. We want to stay in our homes. We want to stay with our Druze brothers and our people, us and them, not our not just neighbors. We are brothers and we coexist. Not just coexist. We are one, living together for hundreds of years. And we will not leave our homes or our land. We demand international protection from the whole world. Look at us. Look at Swadia. Look at the massacres that happened to us in Swadia. And I thank all the people who want to help us and stand with us. And there he is standing in front of a picture of the crucified Christ. And again, I believe that is the leader or somebody, a representative of the, I believe, Syrian Catholic community. Although I think what I read was it was like the Orthodox Catholic community. So I'm not sure if that's mixed or if mislabeling. But there's a leader of the Christian community in Syria literally begging for international protection. Begging for it. Not even being reported. Being covered up. Being downplayed, being completely ignored. You have no idea how hard it, I mean, try it yourself. Go on Google right now, search Syrian Christians, Syrian Christian massacres, Syrian Christian fires. You cannot find articles about this anywhere. I looked on Al Jazeera. I looked on Russia Today. I just looked on Google News. I looked everywhere. I could not find articles. Maybe the crew can, but it only exists on X as far as I can tell. And it's video. There's videos of it. There's videos of the people making pleas just like that. So it's real. It is happening. It's just that nobody cares. We'll move on from this. But again, it's just disgusting. Oh, you know what? I have a correction. I had one article: Syrian Christians among those affected by violence from ChristianAid.org, September 25th. So there you go. One article from a Christian outlet saying that Syrian Christians are being affected by violence by the very man who now runs Syria that is in the UN giving speeches and shaking hands with Donald Trump. It's absolutely abominable to see, but not exactly surprising if you've been paying attention to geopolitics for the last couple of years. Now, I'm very happy to be joined in studio by the one and only Alex Jones. He's here to talk about what's going on with the DOJ. And I know you're talking about wanting to talk about this earlier, and I thought, well, I want to hear what's going on because I can't make heads or tails of it. Welcome to the show, Alex.
Well, I talked about some of it, and it's a war. I mean, Trump's got 4 million employees.
Right.
So you got good guys, you got bad guys. Mainly you have a bunch of cowards and lazy people. But I want to get to that in a moment. But back to what we talked about in Syria. We call balls and strikes on Trump. I'm very proud of populist conservatives, Christians, Catholics. We're not like Democrats. This James O'Keefe stuff with a high-level DOJ head guy at the time that interviewed the rape victims, Bill Clinton, raping kids on planes. We already knew that. And he's like, yeah, Trump was never there. He's covering up for Mossad and the CIA. I mean, we already know that. It's just more confirmation. But then by extension, Trump becomes an accessory. And I can't sit there and become an accomplice after the fact by saying this is okay. But then it's very paradoxical because RFK Jr., they're going to have the poison shots, the Tylenol, they're shutting it down, the border, the election fraud. I'm just going to call balls and strikes like a report card and say, here's the good, here's the bad. But on the DOJ, I've already been warming up. I don't know if you remember, but 6 months ago I said, if in about 6 months we don't start seeing indictments and if we continue to see this stuff, we know it's a cover-up. And now I've talked to enough people, and it's not just Ed Martin. I'm not protecting Ed Martin. He would never give me any information. He only helped me on my cases because his job was weaponization, and the Justice Department got caught funding under the Democrats the attacks on us. So that was what I met with him about. They sent out the letter, other things, and then that deputy head of the Justice Department said, you will withdraw that letter yesterday. Well, we kind of expected that to happen. The point is it's out there now what they did.
Right.
So, and there's a bunch of other stuff going on. I'll stop there. That we went with the weakest thing up front just to identify certain people. But separate from that, we've got all the other DOJ things happening that I wanted to talk about because I got into it some of my show, but not fully enough. But before I do that, I don't like to give pure trolls attention. But when trolls are doing things that overall I see a constellation of protection of the trolls, so it can be used as an example later to censor all of us, we have to talk about it. Like Tucker said, 6 months ago when he interviewed me, he says, I think they're going to false flag the left to blame us. I totally agree with that. That's the Podesta plan. I don't know if you saw at the end of my show, I had
the Civil War.
Newsom says, crazy. We are the Western Alliance. We're going to war. Well, that's the movie Civil War that came out last year.
Yep.
That's the Podesta plan. So they're not even hiding this. And so we have to be Christ-like, not because we're wimps. We're winning politically, culturally, spiritually. We don't start fights. We finish them. Obi-Wan Kenobi with Darth Vader. We don't want to launch the violence. So before I hit the DOJ stuff, I just want to play this because Stu Peters is a pure troll, former rapper and bounty hunter and truly soulless person. And I don't say he's soulless because he loves Hitler and all that. He goes wherever he thinks the clicks are.
Right.
And I remember, again, like 5-6 months ago, he goes on air and says, I was coming to InfoWars, but I was banned. Well, there's three hosts at the time, Owen, you, and me and Chase. So the three I didn't know. I knew I didn't do that. So first I call Chase, then I call you, and then you didn't tell he was banned. I call Owen, and Owen goes, no, I talked to him yesterday, but I didn't tell him he was banned from the building. Mm. And I said, so you didn't tell him he was banned from the building? He made that up. He goes, yeah, I promise. Well, I said, you're allowed to have him on, but I want security at all times, and I want cameras on because he's a liar. And Owen can tell that story. And knowing Owen now, what saying he never got a raise when he got an 87% raise and over a few years and not being trying to be mean. It's just like the guy's a liar. I got censored. Well, not really, but to play victim. So let him go get on the love boat, love canal, whatever. It's personal pain to me. The numbers, by the way, are up now. You're hosting the show. Nothing against him. It's just like, whatever. So I just have to keep saying that. People say, why do I say it? Because, well, you fucked me in the ass for no reason. I mean, I'm going to tell you. I mean, if you come out and say I censored you or did something, I love you, Harris. I'm going to attack you. Like, I haven't done any of this. I'm not going to sit here and be pissed on for no reason. And by the way, you haven't done that. So I got really pissed off about 13 days ago, 2 days into the Kirk's assassination, when they show the shot goes off and there's a guy with his arms crossed in Charlie's security, who I later learned the guy's name. He's a really nice guy. And he goes like this.
Yeah.
Days after that, I'm in L.A., and I'm walking down the street doing, just hiking, and a big backfire goes off. And I went like this. Everybody else went like that. You're like walking. Yeah. Whoa. Now they've moved on. No, that guy didn't have a gun under his arm. It's a cell phone. There's another guy with a bottle of water.
There's another guy that just, itches his arm, and they're, zooming in, and they're like, look, and he literally is just doing this.
Well, plus,
it's crazy.
They're all military guys. They're doing hand signs. Watch that guy. Watch this guy. You can see the stuff. Look, that guy left. They're not talking. That's what look, we caught him in military signs. That's our security does that.
Right.
They go I don't have it down like they do. So my thing was, maybe there was help. I think there is now.
Right.
We had to do some investigation. But we're not going to say, this guy killed him. And then it was a whole, this guy killed him. No, that guy killed him. The bottle of water guy, they say, is a cell phone gun. You can blow it up. It's a bottle of water.
Right. No, it makes
sense. So my thing is, I've been sued and kangaroo courted for stuff I didn't do. These people are literally saying, this is the murderer. And then you watch the video, and the guy crouches down when a gunshot goes off.
Right.
This is a real person. Stu Peters is such a demonic sociopath, and I'm not even singling him out. He loves this. He relishes this. I'm warning other people, like if I'm, you know, creating a chart of a river or whatever, you know, here's rocks, here's whatever. He goes out and says, here's Charlie Kirk's real assassin. I want to show people this tweet. I know the camera's over there, but here it is. Yeah, show it. So I don't do this to get in a fight with Stu Peters. Okay, with his Jew proof and all his, you know, garbage he's involved in. But imagine, we've heard the guy with a bottle of water killed him, the guy with a cell phone, who I know people that know him. The guy's literally like close to suicide over this. His whole family's getting death threats. And you can watch the video. His arms are crossed. He's got a cell phone under it. His arms go out. It's a cell phone, dude. So you're supposed to accept every new theory, whoever says it, or you work for Israel. Now I talked to Fuentes yesterday. Now that we know there's a cover-up, that's a whole other discussion. You had to prove it first. DNC's the first suspects. RNC's the next to take control of the organization. Next is CCP, because they're heavily involved. Again, we don't just sit there and just make stuff up. We go through all of our evidence. So the reason I raise this is we have a lot of power. And we have a big responsibility to go up the facts. So handing me that again. Here is Stu Peters literally saying, here is Kirk's real assassin. And it's a guy crouching down when a gunshot goes off. He doesn't even know the person's name. He doesn't even know who they are. Okay. Now, sure, the ChatGPT letter to the boyfriend looks fake. All of it. We don't know yet, though. But clearly, the surgeon looks like no autopsy. Where's the bullet? I'm on this like snake on you know what. But to imagine the soullessness of this person. I mean, he's archetypally an example of this, where we've already seen all these other innocent people blamed with murder. My God, they may sue me just saying I think they're innocent, but look what people are saying. That's what happened with Sandy Hook.
Right.
So I'm sitting here watching this, and if I did that, the corporate media would be all over me. Plus, I wouldn't do that. So my issue is, this is so satanic. If Stu Peters is not a demon-possessed person, then he should repent to God and apologize and find out who this is. Because literally, a gunshot goes off, and the guy goes like this. This is the guy hitting the detonator in the lav mic. Maybe there was a lav mic bullet. One chance out of maybe that's true. I don't think so. Because someone goes like this when there's a gunshot, they're hitting a detonator as if the person with the detonator would be right next to him. These are real people, you sociopath. You Gavin Newsom, you John Wayne Gacy. And the fact that the internet sits there and entertains it, we can't be like the left that says because you're white or Catholic, you must be a white supremacist. You can't just look at somebody and say this about them. And so it's so incredible. I mean, oh my God, this guy hears a gunshot and ducks down. Here's the assassin. Imagine just picking somebody who the gunshot happens. He ducks down and this man is guilty. I have never seen greater scum baggery. I mean, this is crazy. So let's listen to what real evil is. Here it is.
Tyler Robinson didn't kill Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk's Israeli security detail killed Charlie Kirk, and Charlie Kirk's assassin is caught on tape. Blake Bednar has brought us this video. We'll break it down. Take a look at this. Here it is from the wide angle. Watch Charlie Kirk's right side of his t-shirt. Watch the lavalier lapel mic. Do you see it explode? Let's bring it in just a little bit closer. Watch this. Put it in a freeze frame. That is the explosion from Charlie Kirk's lavalier lapel mic. Want to see it again? Bring it in closer. Remember when we told you that was absolutely an exit wound? Yeah, it is. Check the trajectory of the round that was deployed from that lavalier lapel mic. That went directly from Charlie Kirk's lapel. That went directly from underneath Charlie Kirk's white t-shirt up through his neck and created the exit wound that we told you was an exit wound immediately when we saw that exit wound. First we had exploding pagers. Now we have exploding mics. Do you remember the vector analysis from John Bray? That proves that all of the activity came from the mic that Charlie Kirk was wearing. Remember the palm gun guy in the brown shirt, that shadowy-looking guy with the sunglasses? Yeah, he pushes the detonator. Clear as day.
Counting gang violence. Great.
That's what I was talking about. He's just itching. He's, like, scratching his arm.
But here's what I want to say. It does look like in a because you couldn't have it in a microphone like they said. There's not enough compression. You could have a lob mic that could, I'm not even saying that couldn't be true, but you literally pick some dude with his arms crossed that hears a gunshot go off that ducks and you say, this is a murderer. He doesn't even know who he is. This is total. By the way, when I saw this video, I'm like, yeah, that actually makes sense, the lob mic. That's why I'm so pissed. Why then be a sociopath and blame some dude you don't even know who he is that ducks in a crowd with a gunshot? This is satanic, man. Maybe, I'm not speculating, because I don't even think this, but did Stu get paid by the Israelis to say that, to discredit who really had the bullet in the loft? See, that's how this sick thought goes. I don't think that. But like you just, they've already said, oh, this guy did it. This guy did it with a bottle of water. It's like, you're just going to, like, these are real people, man. You can't just do that.
Yeah, Nick and I were talking about this yesterday. Low IQ conspiracy theorizing. It's like, it discredits any other speculation when you just.
Yeah, I said they blew up Building 7 because they said it on the news.
Right.
It took years for the archive to go up. People were like, where's your tape? I wasn't taping during that. I didn't know. But years later, they archived it. It was like all these channels, they blew it up. I mean, I didn't make that up.
Yeah. Well, and nothing we do is made up. So, you look at some of the conspiracy theories going on now, the guy with the water bottle or this guy scratching his arm. Look, we got him. I mean, it's like, this is not.
I'd like to have that guy contact us and challenge Stu Peters to come here and like, okay, here's the guy you said murdered him. I mean, like, what are you doing, dude? He just picks a guy that ducks down in a gunshot. That's him. We know it's him. How do you do that?
It's utterly baseless. And again, it just seems to me like, I don't know if they're trying to discredit actual speculation, but you can't just make up stuff. It discredits everybody.
Well, you just accuse someone of murder.
Yeah. That's insane. All right, folks, we'll be right back with more. Stay with us. Don't go anywhere. It's the War Room, InfoWars.com.
He tipped his hat, took a stroll through town. All the folks smiled back. Not a single frown, cane in hand. Boots tapping the street, whistling some ragtime, snappy and sweet.
But just up the block, what did he see? The Federal Reserve, oh golly gee. Bankers in top hats, puffing cigars, guarding their treasures like kings of czars.
With a swing and a sway, came a mighty call. Jones climbed high on the wrecking ball. Boom went the bricks, dust filled the air. Gold bars shining so bright you couldn't stare.
He packed that Model T full to the brim. Stacked up high till the edges grew thin. Down Main Street he rolled, the people did cheer. Jones brought the gold, our hero is here.
So raise your hats, let the right time play. Alex Jones saved the town that very day.
From the banker's hands, the riches all returned. And the Federal Reserve, well, it crashed and burned.
Thank you.
back, ladies and gentlemen. It is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, in studio with Alex Jones, going over some of the more absurd speculation about what exactly happened in Utah to Charlie
Kirk. Beyond absurd speculation. Stu Peters says this guy hit a detonator and murdered this person. And anybody that knows about high-powered rifles, I've sat there and shot at targets and missed them by an inch, and the target falls over.
Right.
Because there's so much of a pressure effect. I'm not a meteorologist. The point is, be hydrologist, be water. What do you call air? The point is that high caliber rifles do this.
Right.
And so, but 100%, I don't believe if 30-06 hit him in the left side of the neck and didn't go out the back.
Yeah.
I don't believe that. So I'm like, took me like, you know, days and days to figure things out to not go off half cocked. But I'm just like, everyone forgets the last theory that's just proven and goes to the next. But I got to hand it to Stu Peters, man, like to just accuse somebody of murder. Like that guy ducked down after the gunshot. He detonated it.
I mean, it just makes no sense. I've seen so many videos. I mean, the trap door, there's videos of it's like, look, this handoff happened and there's just nothing there. You look at the video and you're just like, what am I supposed to even be seeing here? There's nothing. So it's like, again, I think it just discredits people that are actually trying to pursue.
Well, also, I have security. I've had it more than in the past big events, like up to 15 people. They're on radios far away, but up close, they're doing all their hand signs.
Right.
That's what they do. Like, there's a hand sign, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's obviously no proof of anything. I mean, it looks weird. I mean, the video is weird because the shirt seems to fly up. But again, I don't know if that's just the bullet wake, you know.
When I first saw it, it looked like body armor and it bounced up.
That's what I thought.
But there was no, you were live on air when we did.
Yeah, yeah.
You were hosting the last hour of my show.
Right.
But look,
but apparently,
I'm not a ballistics expert, but I've shot a lot of stuff with 30-06 and even more powerful 300 Win Mag. And it's so fast with like the neck at that angle, it'd have blown out the bottom of the neck. Nothing, even if it hit bone, it would have perfectly gone through it. Maybe 1,000 yards more spent. It's too magnum. It's too high powered. I don't believe this thing. It went down the spine and bounced back up. But I don't think the surgeon's lying. I think it was shot with a lower caliber weapon.
Wouldn't that be the thing that explains it? Like, because the official story we have now, 30-06, 200 yards away, doesn't make any sense. If it was just a smaller caliber, wouldn't that make everything sort of fit into place? That's what it seems like to me.
But even a 223 or 556 or...
It would still do more damage.
It doesn't bounce off the spine and...
Right.
And it found in the neck. A 22 long rifle wouldn't do that.
Well,
it would probably shoot at 200 yards all the way through. Maybe go through and like lodge at the end of the spinal column.
Right.
We go in the neck and like probably make all the way through, but maybe be on the back side of the neck.
Right.
No, I mean, I've shot a few deer and hogs with a 30-06. They're not as accurate. So I'm a 300 Win Mag guy. I've shot some with 338 Lapua, you name it. Back when I had time to do it, I've been quite the shooter. And with 300 Win Mag, I mean, vaporization.
Right.
I mean, it's not going to, even at an angle, it's not going to go down. It's so high powered at 200 yards. It hasn't slowed down at 200 yards. Here's 30-06. That's all the special forces guys have on. They say, no, it just straight through.
Yeah,
it blows out the bottom of the neck. It doesn't go down the spine.
We're watching.
It's horse crap.
We're watching ballistic videos off YouTube. They'll have a ballistic head with a skull with the exact same, you know.
Well, here's the difference. Smaller caliber, high velocities turn and tumble. Like a 5.56. So, like I said, I've shot, you never want to shoot straight on, but I've shot a 400-pound hog with a 300 Win Mag, very close to a 306.
Right.
Straight on, because I've only shot a head. It popped out, had to take a shot. The hog was 400 pounds. It went in 2 feet, hit the end of the ribs, bounced back, because we gutted it, and exploded up into the shoulder. Didn't even come out. So I've seen a bullet go in and bounce back. But that was straight on. But if I shot you the hardest bone, straight through, you know, 30-06 going through it. It takes feet of meat to do this. I've shot elk with 300 Win Mag, which is very similar. That's the main rifle I use. And I've hit elk at 300 yards, and it goes in tiny hole, three holes on the other side. It breaks up when it's bone.
Right.
But three holes. Yeah, like a four-inch hole, two-inch hole, one. Like, boom.
Right, well, we got to go to break. We'll be right back. A little quick 60-second break here. We'll be back on the other side with Alex Jones. Don't go anywhere, folks.
guys. Good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effect that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Smith invites you to the War Room, the command center in the battle for clarity and truth.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Infowars.com brought to you, of course, by TheAlexJonesStore.com. Try our new creatine. Absolutely incredibly powerful. Alex Jones is in studio with me. Again, going over just... still the speculation. I can't believe it's been 2 weeks. It feels like it was yesterday, but we still don't have answers. Yeah, 15 days. Unbelievable.
Well, I didn't want to, because I know Tranny was real, and I said if there's evidence of a cover-up, I'll cover it. But at 30-odd-6, I just don't buy it, even at an angle. I'm not saying the surgeon's lying, maybe at another caliber. So here's the big question. Where's the autopsy, which it didn't happen, watch. They won't say. I've been asking. Ask CBSA. Oh, we're not sure. Oh, I'm like, that'd make sense. I'm going to call their spokesperson again when we get off air. Talk to them this weekend. And then where's the bullet? Because they said they found it under the skin. So I'm done talking about that. And I'm not on some jag about Stu Peters, man. It's just he's got his J-proof, you know, all this stuff he does. And then he sits there and just goes, here's the murderer right here. This dude ducks down after a gunshot. Like, dude, the soullessness of that.
Yeah. Well, he
the soullessness of that. That is so that's a scary dude right there.
It's
brazenness.
Yeah.
That person's going to get, sue the shit out of him.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and it, I bet it gets clicks. I bet it gets a lot of views. I mean, he's going to go with whatever the most extreme, outrageous thing is that gets most clicks. That seems to be his driving motive, which again is why it annoys me because people will associate us with, they'll go, oh, there's Stu Peters and Alex Jones out there. It's like, no, what we do is pursue the truth regardless of what the mainstream media says. Then there's people out there that are just saying the craziest stuff they possibly can.
Well, yeah, and like I said early on, I said if Israel's involved, well, I mean, they might have been involved. And I'm just trying to find out. I can't just say, Israel did this.
Right.
And it's just like, okay, well, show me the proof.
Right.
We're really sorry you sold out. And it's like, I don't need to prove to you people something. I covered the USS Liberty before you guys were out of diapers. Look, I'm going to let you take over. I'm going to actually hit this tomorrow. This DOJ stuff, not just with us, but all of it, is really bad.
Yeah.
And we know who the bad players are. We know who's involved. And it's a serious situation.
And so this guy slow-walked the Comey thing for 9 months. Now we're 5 days away from the expiration of the statute of limitations.
We got it removed right at the last moment.
Oh, my God. I mean, is that...
And we know it's Bondi and all them doing it.
Right.
Just like they removed the investigation into what happened to us, same people, which is good. They just spotlight themselves. People think one dimensional, like, or they think of this, this inning. No, this is all part of the plan.
Well, I'm
not
just,
some
I'm
cute
just
plan, but we can go like, we'll do this. They'll freak out. Brings more attention. So they all think one dimensionally.
Right. Well, I just want to see. I want to see something. So it's, you see this. Indictment about James Comey. It's like finally something's happening. Now, apparently all it is lying to Congress, but, they tried to send Roger Stone to jail for years for lying to Congress.
Well, they said out the bond for income tax of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's cut and dry. He said, I never leaked. Later he admitted he leaked.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, I didn't leak. I gave it to media to leak.
Right. Well, and he was asked that specifically, and he denied it. We have the video of him lying. Guys,
There's also a clip where he said, I really probably didn't know if I could do it, but I went and set up Trump.
Yeah, well, he bragged about sending people in. Yeah, that crazy. He's like, well, normally.
And he also told Congress he didn't do that.
Totally. Yeah, I don't know. And he's putting the 8647 thing, pretending he doesn't know what that means. This guy's a menace, James Comey.
Well, he covered up the Epstein.
Yeah. And his daughter did too. And the P. Diddy thing.
Yeah, that's who they put in
Swamp.
That's who they put in charge. All right, well, you take over. I know you got your guests coming up and calls. Love everybody.
Absolutely.
I feel like a mole rat here. It's been almost 8 years, 7 years since I was like this. This is weird.
You look like a young Prigozhin.
What's a Prigozhin?
Prigozhin, the guy that tried to overthrow Putin. A young one, a young and more fit one. But you could be a supervillain. You got a supervillain look going on. I like it.
I really do.
In a good way. It's a compliment, in the best possible way. I think you should.
Harrison,
you're
something else.
I think you should embrace it. They made you the villain.
I look like a villain?
You're Lex Luthor. You said it yourself.
Chilling like a, well, with the goatee I do. Chilling like a villain. It was literally the cat this morning. 5:30, I'm like shaving. The cat jumps up. It loves me. And bangs his head at me all the time. It demands, jumps on me. And I'm just like, I was like, oh, God. And my buddy comes over to exercise. He goes, you look like a pedo with a mustache. So I goes, do Hitler. And then I'm sitting there doing serious interviews. And I'm like, okay, this joke's gone far enough. No, I like
it,
my
it was
facial
funny,
hair.
Though. It was very funny.
I like my facial hair. I'm bringing it back. I feel naked without it. Plus, I don't have this anymore, you know?
That's very funny. No, I like the Hitler mustache. When I walked in this morning, there was a levity in the office. There's everybody was sort of in a bubbly mood walking in this morning with your Hitler mustache.
But on TV, I was like looking at myself. I was like, I had a serious discussion about Epstein whistleblowers. Yeah. He's a Mossad operative. And I'm interviewing James O'Keefe with a Hitler mustache.
It wasn't worthy of the gravity of the situation, yeah. But it was funny. It was good.
Yeah, well, I had a Hitler mustache for 4 hours. And now it's over. So.
You can get a little fake one. You can pop it off when you need to.
And I went
to
the grocery store, and literally women were throwing themselves at me.
That's so funny.
They're like, who are you? Because they weren't clicking what it was. And I did it as a joke. I was wearing black yeah, pants and black shirt. I want to have a full
Hitler. Oh, the full Hitler.
Full Hitler.
Good.
And I was like, literally, women, it was, because, you know, women like power. They like darkness. You know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Whatever. So they're like, who are you? What? Oh, God, what's your number? Oh, baby. Oh. Like, literally, you know, it was like fountains on the ground.
Oh, no.
They're like.
Well, there you go. If you're having trouble meeting ladies.
Dress up like Hitler.
There you go. Dress up like Hitler.
Shave well, you know, back. They want the bad boy.
Well, he's the worst, right?
He got plenty of Germans killed, so yeah, he's a real winner.
I had a big argument with a caller a couple days ago about Hitler. And I was like, can you at least admit he lost? Can you at least admit it was a bad idea that he destroyed Germany forever? Can we at least get that on the table? I don't get it. I don't get why you'd worship a guy who led his nation down just total destruction.
Oh, my God. He was totally neurotic, too, and totally set up by British intelligence.
Right.
So, I mean, it's on record. They had a peace deal. They were to put Edward VIII on the throne of Europe, and they set him up. I mean, Churchill was everybody loves Churchill, and I love his writings. He's a likable guy. Total villain.
Right.
Way smarter than Hitler.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff that came out about decisions he made after the war was like, he tried to like do like anthrax over a bunch of people.
Oh, yeah.
It was
well,
crazy.
World War I was the British and was wrong to
yeah.
Austro-Hungarian Empire.
Yeah. Well,
like the pro-German folks go, Germany was right in World War I. It wasn't Germany in World War I. Learn something, dumbass.
Well, I
you know who Franz Ferdinand is? Do you know about the Black Hand? Do you know anything? Like, Hitler didn't start World War II. Oh, because the Jews put an article, we declare war on Hitler. And then and I like Nick, he does it to be catty, but he's like, screw Poland, they're subhuman. Literally, Poland did nothing. And then the Soviet Union from one side and Germany from the other literally blow it up and kill like a million and bomb their cities with bombers. Because, oh, they're Poles. They deserve it. I got a lot of Polish friends and stuff. They're great people. Fuck. You know what? If you think Poles are subhuman or anybody else, fuck you. Fuck Hitler, man. Let's just blow up Poland.
Well, and it sowed the seeds of their own destruction, right? If Hitler wasn't a megalomaniac, he probably would have listened to some advice, maybe not to go.
Well, they said, sir,
Russia.
Please stop running all these slave camps. They're like, sir, we're going to lose against Russia. He goes, I want half the stuff on these work camps.
Yeah, yeah. And then they go into these ex-Soviet places, freeze them from the Soviet despotism, but instead of just treating them nicely, they probably would have fought
exactly.
For the Nazis.
When they rolled into Ukraine and Russia, they were like, oh, we love you.
And then they were like, well, too bad you're subhuman. Get in the ditch. It was so stupid. It totally destroyed
their
own.
Yeah, let's take these farmers and just shoot them. And there's countless there's no gas chambers. Okay, whatever. We know that's all twisted. Number. It was actually a Soviet lie about that. The point is, there's thousands of videos. They never air anymore. Never see, when I was a kid, they were in Discovery Channel. You never see it. They just run people into ditches and shoot them.
Yeah.
And the Russians were like, oh, you're going to kill us? Well, fuck you.
Right.
So
they could have actually been treated as liberators.
I remember because the Germans had the jump on the Russians before. They got their ass kicked.
Yeah.
They got the jump this time.
Well, how different is it, though, with modern technology? Because, I mean, do we need to march to Moscow? They're bombing Moscow from Ukraine, right? I mean, does that change the equation at all?
We're already into the nuclear escalation point. Trump came out and said, oh, I think Ukraine's winning. Go ahead and take Russia. It is cuckoo bonker town. And it's this weird European thing. It's not just Napoleon and Hitler. Something like 60 European leaders have tried to invade Russia.
Right. Also, the Genghis Khan, the Muslims got stopped.
Well, that's part of it. They're always being attacked.
Yeah. And they just have infinite land, too. With Napoleon, it was just, all right, we'll retreat and retreat and retreat. And you chase them until half your army's dead, and then you go, crap, we better get back. The Grande Armée, right? He lost, 60,000 men, never even fought a battle.
I think 90% of them.
Yeah, yeah. Totally decimated it. Ruined everything.
And when he got there, the Russians would just burn the cities before he got there.
Yep. So they had no food, nothing to rely on, freezing cold. Nobody can handle the Russian winters. I mean, so then Hitler was, paranoid about that and tried really hard not to do what Napoleon did. So he refused to march on Moscow, which is how he got bogged down in Stalingrad, which was just, brutal. They didn't have, clothes to wear in the Russian winter. They're all freezing to death. It's not a good idea. It's not a good idea to go to war with Russia. I don't know what these people are thinking.
I mean, it's not a good idea. As pussy as we've gotten, imagine a foreign army. We would unify. They'd be destroyed.
Right.
No matter how many weapons they got, you got to fight on the ground. Nobody's invading us unless you could take us over culturally and make us. We couldn't conquer the Vietnamese right. with it's millions sad. Of troops over the years and trillions.
Yeah. Well, and
because when somebody decides to fight, you ain't beating them.
Well, and what is Europe going to do? Half their population are freaking Syrians
Look,
now.
Hey, Democrats, you can't defeat populist Republican patriots. You ain't defeating the Russians, you dumb shits. But see, they had Russia for all those years, so they think, we're going to cut their sons' dicks off. And they're so mad. Rob Reiner, all of them said they're mad. It was their playground. And sorry, Russia got away.
Yeah, and Putin was a big part of that. Yeah, getting it away from the old guard.
Yeah, I mean, this is just totally. The point is, the West started the fight.
Yeah.
And the enemies running our country are the same ones attacking Russia. I'm not a Russophile, but I said they're going to start doing fake drone attacks in Europe before the Russians said it.
Yep.
And now they're doing it.
Do you think they hacked the drones?
No, like Spiderweb, when they attack the Russians with them, they can bring them in and then launch them from there.
They're just launching their own drones, you think? Because that's what I was speculating what would be next. I was thinking they're going to hack a fighter jet and have it fly.
Well, no, you can do that too. But the easiest thing is just, it's hard to do that, especially when a human's flying it.
Right.
So, the Russians say, it's fake false flag. But the radar trajectories are coming right off the border of Belarus and Russia, which what you would do, you just drive in trucks across, you load them up, and you launch them, and you say Russia did it. It's a classic false flag.
Right, and it's like...
It's already brought spider web all over the country as far as 4,000 miles in and attack with drones. So they've already done... And then Zelensky, drones don't attack Europe. We hit Russia, drone attack. Then drones start coming in.
Yeah. Well, it's like Assad. It's like Obama saying, the red line is chemical weapons. He cannot use chemical weapons. And then they say he goes off and uses chemical
weapons. 1 week later... But then the jihadis want to, they get millions for their family. So like, Allah Akbar, screw Assad. We launch chemical. They put the videos, the chemical mortars, because the jihadis literally have 80 IQs.
It's so ridiculous. But it's the same thing. If Russia sends drones, then, oh, look, they send drones. Why would they do that? Why would Putin do the one thing he knows that
doesn't want to attack NATO. He wants them to stop moving forward.
Right.
Look at the maps. If Russia was moving like this to us, I would go, oh, enemy, like China is. They're not, folks. We're encircling them. This is not rocket science.
And
this is not, the Russians are not attacking Poland, the main staging ground.
No.
I said 2 years ago, they're going to use Poland as a detonator.
Right.
Not
just like they did in World War II.
Always the same.
Yeah. Well, and why would we want to drive Russia towards China? Like, if China is our big existential enemy, would we not want to be friends with this giant country looming over them Christian?
Listen, it's the Marilyn
European.
Monroe bent over.
Yeah.
I mean, it wants to be in business with us.
Who, Russia or China?
Russia.
Yeah.
It's got triple the resources of Africa. It is literally, what does Tony Montana said? He said this town is a great big pussy waiting to get fucked.
You're going to get us kicked off that.
No, we're delayed.
We're delayed, but you only have so many examples. On X, we'll be fine.
No, I mean, I told the Russians on national TV. I'm like, listen, we just want to exploit you, okay? So, in a nice way, you'll exploit us. Like, I'm all about business, you know. I want golf courses and beautiful airports and technology and moon bases, and we can all just get together and, you know, have a bunch of kids.
You don't want to kill each other, brother?
I know enough about killing. That's not my business. Yeah.
No, it's
all these guys that want to be about killing, they don't know anything. They don't know anything about killing.
Yeah, I don't. It just makes absolutely no sense. Well, and you know, I always bring up the part from Putin's interview with Tucker Carlson where he says president after president, he would go and say, hey, we're not communists anymore. Can we just be a European nation?
He goes, they say great stuff, but then they turn out their puppets.
He calls them the men in gray suits come and say,
black suits and black ties.
Yeah.
Or blue suits and black ties. But the point is that you're seeing that now.
Yeah.
But finally, Trump is firing U.S. attorneys and doing it. That's why they've got Democrats saying, prepare for the riots. So
to save themselves, yeah.
And I get Trump's part of the deal. NATO won't make a deal. Putin won't make a deal. So Trump kind of flip-flops. It's trying to dislodge stuff. You can't do art of the deal with war.
Right.
War is when the deals have broken down.
Right.
That's why business operations don't work there.
Yeah, and this is, you know, again, it's like Trump is like, oh, we had such a good talk with Putin, but then he bombs Ukraine. It's like, well, why would he not keep bombing? You're still in war. No peace agreement
Ukraine
has been signed.
Every time intensifies the attacks.
Right.
Whenever I see major Ukraine attacks, I notice it's not on our news. And then later Trump goes, oh, I didn't know they doubled the tax.
Because he just thinks it's Russia being it.
And he goes, I got an intelligence briefing. They're about to collapse. That's the standard EU business model.
Right.
It's no, they're tech companies. They're energy. They're doing better than ever. They don't. You talk about isolationism. Like, I'm not endorsing apartheid. It's better than communism. It's like I'm not endorsing cutting your arm off. Just don't blow your head off. Black people had lower illegitimacy than any group in this country until the 40s, because they were oppressed. They had to have their own hotels, their own restaurants, their own doctors, their own colleges, their own everything. And you see the old black and white films. My dad told me about this in Dallas. You know, he grew up in the country outside Dallas, but he had family in Dallas. He said the black areas, everybody was wearing suits and ties.
Yep.
They weren't super rich, but they were all about how they, you know, were like proper, and we're not going to be oppressed, and we're classy. Then they bring in the left and paid it. Moms not have dads there and all that. Within a generation, destroy it, which is the model for everybody. And that which doesn't kill you only makes you stronger. So Jim Crow was wrong. But people, when they know they're oppressed and got to take care of themselves, what happens? Nietzsche, that which doesn't kill you only makes you stronger. So it's the same thing for America. I just say get this stuff all out in the open. Have it all out in the open. Because any of these free deals, any of these you're a victim, any of these we want to help you, it's all about a worm on a hook to a fish.
Yep.
You're not giving the fish a worm because you like it. You're getting 20 grams of protein for 1 gram of protein. It is an exchange. It is a predatory action. So we don't endorse Jim Crow. We just say you replace something bad that happened to actually make people strong because it was clear with this. So just be clear about the oppression.
Yeah.
And the Russians know for 1,000 years they're getting invaded by the Muslims and the Huns and everybody else. And so to them, they're just like, okay. Right. And sure, they're weaker than they were before. We're way weaker than we were before. That's what freedom does. It creates weakness. But their weakness is less than ours, and it's suicidal because it mutually assured destruction. And that's why I oppose psychotic behavior. God bless you, Harrison. Take over.
Thank you, sir. All right, folks. We do have a lot of videos to get to. And again, just things going on that are just beyond insane. The free speech stuff is just completely bananas. This is one that I haven't heard anybody else report on. Democratic senators are now targeting executives from Sinclair and Nexstar for daring to remove Jimmy Kimmel from their television stations. The same politicians who accused Trump of political overreach are now using their political power to pressure private companies to bow to their will. It is just everything they do is, like I said, it's beyond hypocrisy. It's beyond hypocrisy. Hypocrisy can be positive. I haven't said this in a while. I used to say it all the time. I can be a positive hypocrite. In other words, if I smoke cigarettes but tell you not to, okay, I'm being a hypocrite. All right, I'm not practicing what I preach. That's hypocritical, but what I'm telling you is good though, right? It's a positive thing. I'm right what I'm telling you. I just don't follow what I'm saying. That would be positive hypocrisy. The hypocrisy on display here is just another more devious level of deception is what it actually is. All right, looks like we have some breaking news here. I know Trump was signing executives' orders minutes ago. He has now signed an executive order saving TikTok from a ban. So that's pretty interesting. Do we have these videos? Maybe we'll go to these. And he's also made a statement about the West Bank. He says, I will not allow Israel to annex the West Bank. No, I will not allow it. Not going to happen. So that's interesting because I'd heard reports. Remember, he just did the big meeting with all of the Arab leaders in the UN. And it was reported then that he'd promised then, no, I'm not going to stand for West Bank annexation, which is interesting because Mike Johnson just went over there and filmed a video in the West Bank saying it should all be annexed and basically co-signing the plan to annex the West Bank. So now he's saying they're not going to annex it and Trump's going to stop them. That was reported that he said that the Arab leaders meeting. Now apparently he's repeated it in the White House. If we have these videos, let's go ahead and go to them. Guys, do we have the video of him saying he will not allow West Bank annexation? All right, let's go to that.
This week, that he would not allow Israel to annex the West Bank. Is that something that you said?
I will not allow Israel to annex the West Bank. No, I will not allow it. It's not going to happen.
Did you speak with Netanyahu about this?
Yeah, but I'm not going to allow it. Whether I spoke to him or not, I did. But I'm not allowing Israel to annex the West Bank. There's been enough. It's time to stop now, okay?
Amen. Amen, Trump. Very, very forceful. Not waffling, very good to see. You know, a lot of times, well, we'll see. Well, I'd like it to be this. I'd like it to be this. No, none of that here. Straightforward. Nope, not going to allow it. Did you ask? Did you talk to Bibi Netanyahu? Yeah, I talked to him. Doesn't matter. I'm not allowing it. So that means that Bibi was trying to get him to allow him to annex. Again, Mike Johnson 2 weeks ago was in Israel making a video saying this should all be Israel now. And of course, the West Bank, as I've reported, 85% Christian 50 years ago, 10% Christian now. Barely, you know, hanging on. The birthplace of Jesus, Bethlehem, is in that region of the world. So, wow. Okay. Very, very forceful, rejection from Trump of annexation of the West Bank by Israel. He also apparently signed an executive order saving TikTok from a ban while still protecting America's national sovereignty. And let's see what he has to say about this.
Next, sir, we have an executive order on TikTok. From the first days of your administration, you've charged a team from your administration, led by Vice President Vance, with ensuring that we can preserve TikTok as a platform for the 170 million Americans who use it, while ensuring that their data is properly protected as required by law. With this executive order, you will be effectively bringing into effect the agreement that will save TikTok and ensure that it can operate safely and securely.
So this is interesting because I had a very good talk with President Xi, a lot of respect for him. Hopefully he has a lot of respect for me too. And we talked about TikTok and other things, but we talked about TikTok and he gave us the go ahead. You know, it's run by American investors and American companies, great ones, great investors, the biggest. You don't get bigger, I don't imagine.
So that's very interesting. So apparently it's going to allow TikTok to continue to operate. So it's not being shut down. I wish he'd give a statement about TikTok like he did about Tylenol. I think he should get up and just like he did with Tylenol, don't take it. Just don't take it. I think he should get up and just go, just get off it. Just get off TikTok. Just for your own mental health, for the health of your children and our country as well. Just get off TikTok. Stop scrolling. It's full of demons. Stay off of it. I'd love it. I'd love if he said something like that, because that is genuinely how I feel about TikTok. It is a playground of demons, and I cannot understand how people can spend time on that platform without genuinely going insane. In fact, I think they do. I think they go insane when people are on that. And I don't think it's because China. I think it's because Americans like trash, I guess. I don't know. I mean, that is the question. Do you want your algorithm controlled by the government, or do you want to make your own choices and choose not to watch demonic crap? It's up to you. It's one or the other. All right, we'll be right back, folks. Don't go anywhere.
I was not trying to do a product placement thing here. We're at Rex's 23rd birthday. And with my dad and mother, Dad, we're so proud of you. Great job, the surgeons. Thanks for all your prayers for my dad. But, Mom, you were literally without me soliciting. You've been on colostrum now 2 months. And we have the very best at theologyshore.com. And I'm serious. I didn't bring this up.
Tell us what happened. Testimonials, but I have been on colostrum for about 2 or 3 months. And a back problem that I've had since Alex was born is almost completely gone after 50, however many years. And my hair is much thicker than it has been. And I have good hair anyway, but it's much thicker. And this... it's brand new.
Turn darker.
And darker. Beautiful.
Whose convention did you take it? Steve Heinberg or somebody?
It was Mary Heinberg.
Yeah, they're really smart. They're listeners. So, Mom, you got to listen. The products are amazing.
Well, this one, like I said, I don't do testimonials. There's a lot of good products. This is the first one that I can go, whoa, it really does work.
No, it's funny. I didn't even know the Heinbergs, I guess, because Steve and Mary, like a year ago, your house, like, you need to sell this. So we started, and we got the best brands, the strongest. It's no joke. The first 2 weeks of mammals, milk is totally different. It's like magic.
That back problem was from when you were born. I have a pinched nerve or something. I've never really known what it was.
No, you can blame my whole life.
And it has bothered me. And I just go through the pain because if you're going to have it, you're going to have it, right? There's nothing to do about it.
Well, I haven't asked you this yet. Have you taken the methylene blue yet?
No, uh-uh. I'm scared of that.
Really?
I'm scared it'll make me like Roseanne Barr. Not that she's not wonderful. Just kidding.
Your friend, you'll be... She came on the show like 6 months ago. And she said, I don't know if I can do it. She just felt sick. I gave it to her. She was bouncing off the walls 30 minutes later.
Well, you know, for some people, a generic supplement choice that's less, you know, radical than methylene blue, which is incredibly powerful, might make more sense. Something like a methyl drive, a power plant, ultimate burn, even. But especially if you're talking about younger people, methylene blue is radically powerful.
Absolutely. And then we've got the beauty cleans. Love you, Charlotte. So you just saw a quick video I shot at dinner Sunday night with my parents and my four amazing children. I'm sitting there at dinner, and my mother starts talking about how great her hair looks and how great her skin is and how healthy my dad is because of bovine colostrum. And I go, oh, yeah, where'd you get that? 3 months ago, we got in the test samples. We've been selling it for 2 months. We have the very best. I went and gave them a few canisters. They're like, oh, yeah, that is your bovine colostrum. The first 2 weeks of what a mammal puts off is so incredible. It's just all these super nutrients, your immune system. It's really mother's growth hormone, natural growth hormone, healthy. That's what it is from the cow. We have the best at thealexjonesstore.com, discounted right now. And I am so excited about this because we did a survey a year ago to thealexjonesstore.com customer and said, what do you want? They said, we want bovine colostrum. We finally got it in, and the reviews are insane from listeners. The only thing that's getting better reviews, literally 5 stars, like 4.5, is our ultramethylene blue. So get ultramethylene blue, the best methylene blue, at thealexjonesstore.com right now, and bovine colostrum with a bunch of other super nutrients that supercharge it right now, and it funds this operation. And regardless of what happens to InfoWars, I don't own thealexjonesstore.com. So it's funding the Alex Jones Network at AJN Live on X and other places. So they shut the studio down. We have backups. Thanks for your support. Go now to thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Navigating the maze of mainstream narratives, Harrison Smith finds the hidden paths in the war room.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room, InfoWars.com, Band.video, TheAlexJonesStore.com is, of course, how you support us and everything that we do here, which, of course, is just continually rack up victories, which we survive. We're surviving, all right? The victories are coming. We're building to the victories. But, hell, our survival alone is a massive slap in the face to the machine that has tried to destroy us over and over and over again. I mean, I know I've said it before, but, like, I wonder what's going through their head. There's a movie or something. You know, just the guy that... It just won't die. You know, it's like, what do we have to do here? What do we have to do to get this guy down? First, they kick us off every social media platform on a single day. Every single one. Spotify, Apple, iTunes, YouTube, X, or Twitter at the time. Everything kicked us off one day. I guarantee you they were toasting champagne and thinking it's a matter of time now. Yeah, that was 7 years ago. It didn't work, did it? Didn't quite work as well as they thought it did. Then they thought suing us. Surely we don't have the wherewithal to defend ourselves in court. We're just a bunch of crazy conspiracy theorists from Texas, right? I'm sure they'll steamroller right over us with their expensive lawyers. Turns out we're still standing. We're in fact kind of better than ever. I wonder what it's like to experience that. I wonder what it's like to think for sure, definitely this time we've buried them, only to see the hand burst out of the soil as we climb out and continue our operation. We're like this little tugboat. We're this little battleship that just has a gigantic Navy arrayed against us, emptying their batteries, trying to take us down. And we're just chugging along. We're just chugging along, dominating them and heading right at them, by the way. And they're scared and they're terrified and they're doing everything they can to stop us. But they can't, as long as you go to thealexjonesstore.com. And in case you need another reason to do so, okay, the first reason would be you become a part of this. You actually become a crucial member of the battleship pursuing the enemy at top speed, which, you know, I think if you like liberty and America and men being men and women being women, like, I think you should contribute. I think that alone would be more than enough reason to help us out on our mission. But hey, that's not enough for you. It's fine. You get all this free content. You get all this free, incredible information, free to air, free to share. Take it down, put it up. At InfoWars 1984, I believe, let me make sure the right name exactly, is guy, he posts clips of my show. They get thousands of views. I hope he's verified. He could be making money off this. You could be making money off this. You could be taking our footage and uploading it to X and monetizing it and getting a check every month. If you do it right, if you spread it around, and I'll help you, tag me and I'll retweet it every single time. And I appreciate the people that that do that. Okay, so if you want to help us out, that's a fantastic way to do it, or it's a fantastic reason to go to thealexjonesstore.com. You can also, you're practically spitting in the face of Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and Jeffrey Epstein and all of these scumbags that are doing everything they possibly can to silence Americans. So if you want to spit in their face, one great way to do it is go to thealexjonesstore.com. But also, we have fantastic products, but also they're on massive sale. But also, if you sign up as a VIP club member, you get an extra $10 on top of, the cost of the VIP club. So you cost $30, you get $40. Plus, you get access to the Alex Jones tapes, which are all of our shows all the way back to the early 2000s. The only place you can find them is at thealexjonesstore.com by signing up to be a VIP member. I mean, it just goes on and on. So, I know Alex coined the term 360 win. This is like a 1080 backflip. I don't know, skateboarding turns. It's a very impressive series of spins. It's a 1080 win right now, especially with the limited fall super sale. 70% off Atomic Defense with a Methylene Blue purchase. So if you purchase Methylene Blue, either the tincture or the Ultra Methylene Blue capsules, then you automatically get 70% off a bottle of Atomic Defense. That's the ultimate natural health shield packed with human extract, turmeric, sea moss, honey powder, and more. So Ultra Methylene Blue tincture or the Ultra Methylene Blue capsules, buy either one of those, you automatically get 70% off Atomic Defense. Plus, the America First limited edition fundraiser hat is almost sold out. I'm surprised they haven't sold out yet. There are only 250 of these, very high quality stitched lettering with a certificate of authenticity. It is the ultimate collectible designed to keep us in the air and to keep your head looking fashionable. It's a very nice hat. Do not wait. Stock is limited. This exclusive 75% off deal with the Atomic Defense will not last long, and the America First hat is nearly sold out. So supercharge your health and show your support today at thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison, if you want to let them know who sent you. Now, I will be joined next hour by Mike Shelby of Gray Zone Intel, Gray Zone Research. And he's been coming on, if you watch the American Journal, he would come on every couple of months to give us the update as to sort of where we are on the trajectory to civil war. And it has been pretty much following the exact playbook that, of course, came with the Podesta plan, but also just follows the general outlay of low intensity conflict morphing into high intensity conflict. And every step of the way, Mike Shelby's been there to explain, okay, here's the point we've reached, here's what's next. So I think recently we've taken that next step up, just like Mike Shelby said we would a couple months ago in laying out the escalation ladder. Here's what's next. It's assassinations, it's attacks on ICE facilities. So what comes after that and how do we deal with this? We'll talk to him about that in the next hour. The reason I bring it up now is because we've got some videos from Trump talking about this fact, which again, I'm convinced now. On X, if you're telling me not to say left is violence, you have to just be a leftist. Right. So I was thinking about it, and all yesterday I'm racking my brain going, what is happening here? We've got just an outpouring of leftist violence, and that's what it is. I don't know what else you'd want to call it. It's leftist violence. It's people on the left, radicals on the far left, attacking their enemies, whether it's the symbol of their enemy, the ICE facility, or one of the most prominent right-wingers in Charlie Kirk. Clearly, there is leftist violence going on. But every time I say that on X, I got people, I think, going, you're still pushing the left versus right paradigm like the deep state wants you to. It's like, I mean, yeah, I guess. What are you talking about? The left has been insanely violent for a long time. And yeah, you know, maybe, just maybe, I'm a little bit more sensitive to this because I'm a public figure on the far right that might be the next target. So yeah, okay, maybe I admit, maybe there's something personal here that I don't want myself or my family to come under brutal attack from these psychotics that surround us. Should I not be concerned at this? Because maybe potentially they might want to use this to foment civil. I'm trying to avoid civil war. I'm trying to do the one thing that can stop a civil war, which is the lawful authorities to do their damn jobs and round up the domestic terrorists that are killing us. So for a while, I was like, these must be just like, you know, libertarian people that are just still stuck in this paradigm of like, we can never use the government for anything. We can't use it for anything, even though we're in power, even though it's our side, even though the things that are happening now are being done in a way that is, you know, fairly well contained, right? This isn't the Patriot Act. They aren't going, oh, look, the left is violent. We need access to your phone records. They're not doing that. No new powers are being accrued to them. No new rights are being stripped away from us or given to the federal government to spy on us or, you know, throw us in prison. What's happening is that the powers that already exist and have been wielded against right-wingers for the last decade are finally being used against the left, potentially. I don't know. We'll wait to see the results of this. So far, Antifa is still, to this day, and probably at this moment, surrounding the federal building in Portland, Oregon, and attacking anybody that goes in and out. So they still seem to have a fairly free hand in a lot of this, but I do think at least part of it is just poking the bear, is just letting it happen because they really want right-wingers to respond because, God, you know how easy it would be. I mean, you see the videos of some of these. I mean, you got 15 Antifa people outside of a federal building. And, like, yeah, to probably every right-winger, they're sitting there thinking, I think it'd take three. No, maybe just two trucks full of good old boys to clear this out in about 15 minutes. I don't think it'd be that hard. You've seen Antifa. You know what they're like. You've seen the shape they come in. It's not impressive. It's not intimidating. It's not reflective of a life of violence. So what do they think they're doing? So, you know, you see them just menacing and menacing ICE or menacing federal employees for like weeks on end. And I get it. Trust me, folks. I get the impulse to be like, should we just take turns? Do we need to wait for them or can we just chill, relax? Don't do it. Don't give them an excuse. Do not fulfill the lies that they've been spreading. How many times have they said right-wingers are the most violent people ever? And I know, well, we aren't violent. They still call us that. So why shouldn't we just, it's a psychological operation. They're trying to start civil war. They're trying to paint the right-wingers as the bad guys. Right now, they have nothing to use to make that argument. They have no evidence to back up that claim. Don't give it to them. Do not give it to them. If the federal government wants to let its employees be attacked, wants to let its soldiers be humiliated, I guess they're just going to get humiliated by a bunch of twinks from Portland, Oregon. One or two of them will get arrested. We'll report on it. We'll tell you what their ultimate plans are. We'll tell you what you can do to prepare. But we want the authorities to handle it. My official position is to let the authorities handle it, or rather, perhaps I should say, make the authorities handle it because they don't want to. And they're not trying to, but this may be changing. And we've got some videos here. We've got some more statements from Donald Trump in the Oval Office. Let's go first to this one about the National Security Presidential Memorandum establishing a comprehensive strategy to investigate, disrupt, and dismantle all stages of organized political violence and domestic terrorism. Let's watch. Do we have that?
Lastly, sir, this is a presidential memorandum on countering domestic terrorism and organized political violence. In recent weeks, months, and years, we've seen a tremendous upsurge in some highly visible but also other acts of domestic terrorism and organized political violence being perpetrated by radical politically motivated groups all over the country. What this presidential memorandum will do is set off an administration-wide response to that, ranging from the Joint Terrorism Task Forces to other components of the Department of Justice to the Department of Homeland Security and the Department of Treasury. We're looking at interdicting these groups, preventing them from performing acts of violence, and also looking at sources of organization and funding and support that prop them up and allow them to do the acts that, that they have been doing.
We're looking at the funders of a lot of these groups. And, you know, when you see the signs, and they're all beautiful signs made professionally, these aren't your protesters that make the sign in their basement late in the evening because they really believe it. These are anarchists and agitators, professional anarchists and agitators, and they get hired by wealthy people, some of whom I know, I guess, you know, probably know them. And you wouldn't know it. You're at dinner with them, everything's nice, and then you find out that they funded millions of dollars to these lunatics.
Wow, what an interesting thing for Trump to say. I know some of the people funding Antifa. You'd never expect it. That's fascinating. He's right. Very good to see they're going after the funding mechanisms. And yeah, it's pretty obvious when they all show up with a U-Haul full of pre-made signs that they hand out. Yeah, they're well funded, but it's not just the protest signs and it's not just the travel expenses. It's the connections. It's the fact that these Antifa members and their controllers have connections inside the newsrooms of major news outlets like NBC and others that they're in collaboration with, coordination with. So they can say, hey, we're going to be doing something over here at this time. Make sure your camera's not there to capture it. We don't want any evidence of this. Or they can say, hey, make sure your camera's there because, hey, by the way, it's not just newsrooms they have connections in. It's the local law enforcement. So they'll collaborate with the local law enforcement and be able to, you know, tell them exactly how far they can go and where things will happen. And maybe even set it up to where, okay, the police are going to beat Antifa. So now we need the newsrooms there, the cameramen there to capture that. Yeah, here's the attack on the facility that was being built, I believe, outside of Atlanta, Georgia, with this mob of Antifa violently attacking police. Have any of these people been arrested? I mean, literally, this video is, I mean, we watch this video for 3 minutes, and it's worse than anything that happened on January 6th by far. By far. Nobody in January 6th showed up in black block with flamethrowers, with Molotov cocktails, with fireworks to throw. No, they were all unarmed and peaceful until the cops started firing non-lethal munitions into the crowd, forcing them forward and creating the entire conflict. Not so with Antifa. Antifa shows up heavily armed with explosives to violently attack a construction site where they're building this police building. And then I'm pretty sure, unless I'm crazy, I'm pretty sure I remember they like stopped building this. That's the other. Okay, so it's not just the funding that pays their travel. It's not just the funding that buys signs or arms them or whatever else. It's the connections in the media to get the friendly coverage. It's the connections in the police force to allow them to operate with basically immunity. If they do get arrested, they've got lawyers on staff who know and work with the judges to let them out and allow them out. And then maybe later, a couple months later, they'll sue and actually get $20 million from the municipal funds to pay the protesters with, like in New York and Philadelphia after Black Lives Matter. The rioters who were arrested, they weren't abused. They weren't beaten. They weren't killed. No, they were zip tied for 15 minutes and they get $20,000 from the city because the taxpayers are paying for the very people destroying their cities. It's beyond absurd. Yes, the Atlanta public safety training known as Cop City is finished and opened with a ribbon cutting ceremony. Okay. So it did get finished. Well, good for them. Good for them, because a lot of times what'll happen is these so-called protests, these violent riots, are really just shows they put on so they can pretend like there is popular will to do what they want to do anyway. And we've seen how that works over and over. You want to do something, but you don't have an excuse to do it. So you pay a bunch of protesters, come wave signs, and you go, gee, we better do this thing. They're always going to do it. And so they're completely covered from every different direction. And the people in power that Trump's talking about, his friends that he eats dinner with, yeah, they're Antifa. And they employ people who are Antifa. And there's people in the municipal governments that are Antifa and work with Antifa and communicate with Antifa. So finally, at least some of this, you know, we hope is going to be tracked down and disassembled and destroyed. Let's go to our next video. This is FBI Director Kash Patel saying our citizens are being attacked by organized violence and it's being paid for by other people. So what we're going to do is follow the money. So here's Kash Patel talking about the strategy they'll be taking to prevent domestic terrorism in America.
Yes, as Steve was saying, Mr. President, thanks to your leadership, crime is going downward in a tremendous fashion, and that's what we want for every city in America. And the FBI's premier flagship enterprise, the Joint Terrorism Task Force, are honored to lead this initiative with our partners at Treasury and Homeland Security, because our citizens are being attacked by, as Stephen said, organized violence, and it's being paid for, not by them, by other people. So what we are going to do, combining forces as Scott and I have done over these last few months, is follow the money. Mm-hmm. People and organizations have collected funds and put them out into the streets of America and organized violence across our country. And thanks to your recognition of this and this executive order and the AG's leadership to lead out and prosecute these individuals, we are properly going to chase them down like the domestic terrorists that they are. And our streets and our communities are going to be safer because the JTTF and the FBI and Treasury and DHS and DOJ are going to combine forces like never before to root out this new evil that is perpetrating our criminal activities across our societies. And we are just so thankful for your leadership and recognition of it. It's not easy to do.
All right. That's pretty good from Kash Patel. Although my one correction for him, this is not new. This is absolutely not new. Antifa existed in like Germany and the Weimar Republic, and they had the same logo that they have today. It's the same organization. Antifa has been around for 100 years. The same organization with the same logo and the same slogans. Been around for 100 years. Now, again, I'll remind you, and actually we'll have to go to this video, because, you know, we say we're tomorrow's news today. It's so far beyond that at this point. And it's like practically comical. And I pat myself on the back, and I hope the audience appreciates this too. There's so many times where, like, I'll say something on the show, and 2, 3, 4, 5 days later, a month later, it's all of the biggest people. It's Tucker Carlson and, you know, whoever else, basically saying exactly what I said. So if you've been watching the show this week, you know, I went off on a whole presentation about the ADL and how the ADL trains the FBI, and the ADL says Antifa are just anti-fascists. They aren't even an organization. So you can't hunt them down. They just hate fascists. What's wrong with that? And actually, it's hateful to be against Antifa. That's actually a hate symbol, is things that oppose Antifa are hate symbols. So I explain this, that why haven't we gone after Antifa? Because the people who decide what is and is not domestic terrorism is the ADL. And they think it's a better use of FBI resources to fabricate plots about kidnapping Gretchen Whitmer to, you know, trick a bunch of, you know, good old boys to go to jail for the rest of their lives. That to them is the better use than going after the very real and entrenched criminal networks plaguing our country. So I'll have to go to that Tucker video maybe in the next hour, in the first 5 minutes of the next hour. But let's now go to Stephen Miller. He never disappoints. He says this is the first time in American history there's an all-of-government effort to dismantle left-wing terrorism. Let's watch.
This is a very historic and significant day. This is the first time in American history that there is an all-of-government effort to dismantle left-wing terrorism, to dismantle Antifa, to dismantle the organizations that have been carrying out these acts of political violence and terrorism. What we have seen, if you look at whether it be going back to the riots that started with Black Lives Matter and all the way through to the Antifa riots, the attacks on ICE officers, the doxing campaigns, and now the political assassinations, these are not lone, isolated events. This is part of an organized campaign of radical left terrorism. It is structured, it is sophisticated, it is well-funded, it is well-planned. There is really no parallel like this to anything else in the country right now. There is an entire system of feeder organizations that provide money, resources, weapons, and when they're attacking ICE officers, they're attacking federal buildings, or they're isolating public officials for harassment, doxing, intimidation, and ultimately attempted assassination, it is all carefully planned, executed, and thought through. It is terrorism on our soil. Because of this executive order, Kash and Pam are going to have the tools they need, working with Scott, to take these organizations apart piece by piece. And the central hub of that effort is going to be the Joint Terrorism Task Force, or JTTF, which sits inside the Federal Bureau of Investigation. But for those at home who are worried, about terrorism in this country, they need to understand because of President Trump's strength, because of his vision, because of his leadership, we are now going to use the entire force of the federal government to uproot these organizations root and branch. And again, that's only possible because of President Trump and his leadership.
Again, it's absolutely incredible to hear them say this. And when you really think about it, this is so long overdue, it's not even funny. I mean, just like how Antifa has existed for 100 years, the leftist terror has gone unmitigated for the last 50 years at least. I mean, the Weather Underground was bombing Capitol buildings and like shooting people in the 60s. They all got pardoned or released. Then they all became the heads of Antifa. Meanwhile, go back 30 years to 1990, the federal government is, you know, hunting down Randy Weaver and burning 80 kids to death in Waco. This has been a long time that the right wing is treated with the most brutal, just crushing repression by the federal government. And the left wing is often rewarded for doing what they do when it's the left wing that's actually doing terrorism. The people in Waco, the Branch Davidians weren't hurting anybody. They weren't committing terrorism. And we're shooting anybody or blowing up the Capitol. No, the Weather Underground was. But the Weather Underground gets to become professors and advisors to Barack Obama and heads of Black Lives Matter. Waco gets burned to death. This has been decade upon decade upon decade of this in America, which is how we got to the point we are now. Let's go to a final video, probably the most important one, about old George Soros. Here's the president of the United States, Donald Trump, talking about old Soros. Let's watch.
Well, Soros is a name certainly that I keep hearing. I don't know, but Soros is the name that I hear. I hear a lot of different names. I hear names of some pretty rich people that are radical left people. Maybe I hear about a guy named Reid Hoffman. Somebody's a pretty rich guy, I guess, and I hear about him. I don't know. Maybe could be him. Could be a lot of people. We hear the same names. But they're bad, and we're going to find out. And if they are funding these things, they're going to have some problems because they're agitators and they're anarchists. These are anarchists. Really bad.
Yeah, their goal is to take down the federal government. They need to be stopped. It is Soros. We've shown the documents. Jonathan Soros, his son, not Alexander Soros. He's got two sons. Jonathan Soros was the head of Friends of Democracy, and we have their internal documents that show that they were very much pre-planning a riot with the law enforcement there in order to perpetuate a psyop on the American people. If Trump needs to get in contact with us, we can provide that evidence to him. The FBI needs to know where to start looking. We have their own documents. Hit up InfoWars. We know where the nests are for the where the rats live. I'll just say that. So that's great. That's great to see Trump actually, you know, on this, diving deep, going after the money, dismantling these organizations that have operated terrorist networks for a very long time. We'll be back on the other side with more. I think I'm going to start with an inspirational video while we get connected with Mike Shelby, but he'll help us break down what's next in the ladder of escalation towards civil war that they're obviously pushing. We'll be right back.
Oh, here it is. Bovine Colostrum Plus. This is what I was looking for. This is the only thing that works on a monstrous stomach like mine. If it works for me, it will work for you. Order yours at the website below.
Alex on a top-secret shoreline mission to handpick nature's vitamin-packed sea moss before the globalists patent it. He's scooping it up like it's Cyber Monday in the supplement aisle. But suddenly, a 20-foot-tall sea moss mutant erupts from the tide pool like Godzilla. Alex dashes like he just saw a new Fauci vaccine. Will he make it or become the monster's meal? To be continued.
How many more lives will we surrender in the name of tolerance? How many more martyrs before we stop whispering and start standing? Cursed is he who does the work of the Lord with slackness, and cursed is he who keeps back his sword from bloodshed. If you call yourself a follower of Christ, why do you tremble at the mention of his name in front of the crowd? Why do you hide the cross like it's a secret? Are you worried about their words, their jeers, their likes and approval? Afraid of his own creations? Hear me plainly. Cowardice has a cost. If you keep shrinking back, refusing to bear the name of Jesus openly, you are flirting with a fate you may one day regret. Do you want to hear, "I never knew you," when the day comes? Now is the hour to choose. Stand. Speak. Wear the cross. Proclaim his name without guilt. If fear drives you, trade it for courage. Not tomorrow, not later, now. Our silence has a price, and it will be paid in the lives of the innocent. Just because we have the hope of heaven does not mean we have the option to sit back in passiveness and let evil roam freely. We don't. Earth is not a playground. It is an arena. Good against evil, light against darkness. And as long as we breathe, we are called to fight against evil, to reach those who still have a chance of salvation, to shield our parents, our children, our brothers and sisters in faith. Because as Christians, we are the burning emblem of Christ. When the world sees us, they see believers, the Spirit of Christ. Be dangerous like that. Be a danger to evil, to the deliberate confusion they spread to muddle the truth. Do not soft sell the gospel. Do not shrink from confrontation when truth is on the line. Be relentless in exposing lies. Be fierce in defending the weak. Let your life be a living rebuke to deception. Let your boldness unsettle the darkness. Protect the innocent. Rescue the wandering. Teach the misled. Stand between the predator and the prey. James chapter 4, verse 4. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Let your reputation be that of someone the enemy fears and the lost run to. Be dangerous for good. If they strike down one, let 100 rise in his place. If they silence one voice, let a multitude roar louder than ever before. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. And hear this. Show your unrelenting support for those who preach the gospel. Do not whisper your agreement. Thunder it. Do not hide your loyalty. Declare it. Take over in numbers. Roar for the ones who dare to advocate a Christian way of life in a world that despises it. Let your brothers and sisters know they are not alone. And to be a protector, you must be deeply rooted in Scripture. Why do you not realize it? Train your body to be strong, but do not leave your mind and heart unguarded. The time has come. This cannot go on any longer. There is nothing luxury about being a passive Christian, nor can we afford it now. Neutrality was never an option. For every voice cut short, 1,000 more must proclaim Christ is Lord. The only fear worth keeping is the fear of God.
I also notice your cup is stained blue on the inside. I've been caught.
You got a little, did you get, find some methylene blue floating around here?
I did, man. I commandeered some from Harrison's office.
Yeah, AlexJonesStore.com. Check out the supplements we have, 25% off apparel. Methylene blue, you can get for 50% off if you get a subscription and you never run out. So.
Amen.
I know Stuart's going to be looking for a bottle. I'm going to go try to track one down for him while,
if you don't mind, I'm a bottle that fills too.
You like both. What do you like better?
You know what? I like them both.
Okay.
When I'm traveling, the pills definitely.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah. It's not going to, you're not worried about it breaking open or.
No, on the way over here, I took a couple.
Yeah.
You know, while I'm driving.
Yeah. So with driving, did you feel more alert while you were driving or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took a couple shots while I'm in here in lieu of coffee. You guys ran out of coffee, so I went and got some methylene blue.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
big. My friend Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, this is really funny because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. Looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Third hour of the War Room is on. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Very happy to welcome my guest, Mike Shelby. He is an intelligence expert, and he's the author of the Area Intelligence Handbook. He's an expert on low-intensity conflict, irregular warfare, and the gray zone. He spent part of every year from 2006 to 2011 deployed in Iraq or Afghanistan as an intelligence NCO and intel contractor. You can follow him on X at Gray Zone Intel. That's G-R-A-Y Zone Intel, grayzoneresearch.substack.com, and grayzonestore.com to support him. How you doing, Mike?
Hey, Harrison. Good to see you. Thanks for having me on. And how you been?
I've been all right, but I've been, following you, and, you know, you're one of my favorite guests to have on, one of my favorite follows. I genuinely think you give the best advice on how to deal with the coming violence, the violence that already exists. But, you know, in a way, I wish I could never have you on the show again, Mike, because every time you come on, it means we've taken another step down the slope towards open conflict. And so you're a regular guest, when I was hosting American Journal. Every couple of months, we'd have to bring you on and go, all right, it looks like things are ramping up. It looks like things are getting more intense. Where on the escalation ladder are we? Because that is your expertise, how low-intensity conflict becomes high-intensity conflict. Where are we now, Mike? Where in this timeline or the spectrum are we? And what do you make of some of the increasing violence over the last month or so?
Mm-hmm. Well, the violence definitely has escalated. You know, last time I was on the show, it was right after that Alvarado ICE ambush.
Right.
And one of the things I said is that these single shooters, maybe small groups of shooters will 100% continue against ICE. Nothing is going to change from here. I don't think that stuff is going to continue to happen. You know, I think we're dealing basically with two separate lines of effort here. So there's Antifa or the Trantifa line of effort, which has been ongoing pretty consistently off and on since 2015, 2016.
Yeah.
And then we're dealing with the establishment left and the color revolution. And they obviously haven't stated this, but they're gathering, assembling the building blocks for a color revolution, which historically is going to coincide with the 2028 election. So I think in both cases, we're still in the early innings. We're probably in the third inning of a 9-inning game, and hopefully it doesn't go to extra innings, but there's a lot more to come, obviously.
Yeah, and as crazy as things seem now, I mean, we can't go a couple days without some new attack from some leftist radical. It can get a hell of a lot worse, and it seems like we still have an opportunity now to nip this in the bud, to sort of deploy resources that are available to the federal, you know, government to tamp down on some of this stuff. I think we can do that without, you know, threatening our civil liberties. What do you think about some of the
moves made by the federal government. We just showed some videos of Trump signing executive orders. He's declared them a domestic terrorist organization. How effective do you think this is going to be?
Well, I'll give you one example. There's a guy, an arsonist, who was a pro-Palestine militant, who was arrested for an arson attack in June 2024. And I think he tried to build down an Oakland federal building of some sort as well. And he was sentenced to 20 years in prison, which sounds high for arson. But the thing is, they added on, I guess, what's something called an enhancement.
Right.
And it was a domestic terror enhancement. So I think anytime these Antifa militants get arrested from here on out, if there is any case whatsoever, they're also going to get these enhancements. And I think that actually will have, along with these executive orders and the federal law enforcement attention, I actually think this probably will end up driving some of them underground. A big thing that they've been talking about since 2024. Let's just back up and talk about some history briefly. Sometime before May 2024, there was a national conference of police chiefs and sheriffs. And one of the things that they discussed was essentially counterinsurgency. I mean, this is exactly what they're talking about. But there was like a lessons learned or best practices sharing process that went on. And they specifically were talking about Antifa and far left violence, how law enforcement can do more to crack down on that. And the Portland Police Bureau chief in Portland, Oregon, came out and kind of briefly in May of last year discussed what they were doing differently. And I noticed on social media and some of the Antifa blogs, they were even talking about how the security environment has changed and there's a much higher risk now. And then after President Trump was elected, they are talking about how it's a much higher security risk. So I think that is probably driving some of them underground. I've noticed a decrease in open source activity. So social media and blog posts, I think, have probably diminished as a result of this. But I've been saying since last year, they're smaller. I think they're smaller, very, obviously less active than they were in 2017 and way less active than in 2020, but smaller, but more violent. Right. That was the most likely course of action I outlined in July of last year. And the shootings will continue. Violence will continue. But hopefully federal law enforcement is just going to be able to do a lot more and actually arrest these people and send them to prison rather than having the local DA drop charges and let them out.
Yeah, and there's so many aspects to that make even just doing something as simple as that so difficult when you have, you know, people in positions of power who are, for all intents and purposes, Antifa themselves or certainly in coordination with them. Now, when you talk to Antifa or if you hear from them, they think it's hilarious that anybody funds them. And, you know, for a lot of them, they're probably not receiving funds. A lot of the foot soldiers, a lot of people that are just out there in the black block, you know, they're not necessarily receiving funds, but maybe the signs they get, they don't really know where they come from. How effective do you think it is to go after the money? Or do you think that it is effective? Or do you think these things sort of happen organically and maybe the funding isn't the primary focus?
Yeah, well, when we're talking about funding, there's direct funding and indirect funding. And George Soros is not writing checks to any of these people. Right. But I think by far the biggest thing is many of them are self-funded. Like if you go to these anarchist book fairs, they have these jars or boxes out there and you can put, you know, a few bucks in there. And they have punk rock concerts and they do book sales and merch sales and stuff. And that's how they make money to fund themselves. But the indirect funding is by far the much bigger problem here. These direct action demonstrations comparatively actually do not cost a lot of money. They don't need direct funding, but what they do need is legal representation. They need bail money. Yep. And so those are forms of indirect funding. And we learned just a couple of years ago with the Stop Cuff City stuff, I think it was called the Atlanta Bell Fund. They had millions of dollars
right
in these bank accounts and they used millions of dollars to bail these people out of jail. So I think the barrier to entry, the barrier to participation is much lower when these militants know that they're going to get arrested, but they're going to make bail mm-hmm. and they're going to get legal representation on the backside. Now, if that's not there, then I think many of them will be much less enthusiastic about going and throwing bricks at cops or lighting fires in a Starbucks or outside a federal facility.
I would think so. And it's almost like, hey, better safe than sorry. If you're funding these people, maybe just don't fund them anymore. You know, if you're in Antifa, maybe just, you know, chill out a little bit. Maybe just stop, you know, leave the groups, stop communicating with each other. You just want to be safe. We don't want to see you going to jail for 20 years under terrorism enhancements. But seriously, I think I think just the fact that they're being pursued now is going to have an effect because these people have operated with impunity for so long. It's almost like that muscle is atrophied, whatever that muscle is to, you know, be an enemy of the state. They're not an enemy of the state, so they don't act like it. But now they are. And if they keep acting like they're not, it's not going to go well for them. Let's get back to what you said about this two-pronged attack. The Antifa, Trantifa sort of low-grade, widespread black bloc tactics. Then you have the establishment left that is clearly, it's a symbiotic relationship. They're working parallel, if not directly together. Can you explain a little bit more about the sort of two prongs to the assault on American democracy that we're experiencing? The American Republic, I should clarify, that we're experiencing.
Mm. Sure. Yeah, I'm not sure at what level these two sides are actually coordinated, but they're waving different flags, but they're pointed in the same direction.
Right.
And in the case of Antifa, they want insurrectionary violence. In the case of the establishment left, groups like Indivisible, there you go, the No Kings movement. By the way, we've got No Kings 2.0, the next big National Day of Action coming up on October 18th. And the organizers are saying they want it to be bigger than No Kings 1.0, which was one of the largest single-day protest events in U.S. history.
Right.
They say they got 5 million people turned out. I'm doubtful. 3 million, probably. And so they want it to be bigger and better this time. What they're doing is they started off, if you've noticed the evolution here, they started calling these things National Days of Protest. And then it was National Days of Action. And now even they've said National Days of Resistance. Mm-hmm. And so what this means is basically we're looking at roughly a three-phase campaign. Now, if you listen to them, they only talk about the first two phases. Protest is phase one, and then you have resistance, organized resistance in phase two. And the difference between those two phases is in the protest phase, they hold signs and they shout and they say, we don't like what's going on and we think you should stop. The organized resistance phase is the direct action, the intervention phase. So that's things like blocking ICE vehicles and having these chains and trying to, in some cases, de-arrest some of these detainees. But we're talking about occupations and sit-ins. Very reminiscent, if you remember back in 2003, the anti-war protests, how large those protests were, and then how incendiary, you know, they're chaining themselves and fighting with police and, you know, et cetera. And so we will return to that. As a matter of fact, just a couple of weeks ago, one of the co-executive directors of Indivisible said, quote unquote, in the months ahead, she said, they're going to start asking these Indivisible chapters, there are thousands of them across the country, to escalate their tactics. And what they're talking about is escalating from holding signs in the protest to what some people would call direct action.
Right.
We're talking about nonviolent civil disobedience. So being a giant pain, but more than anything, getting a lot of media attention and trying to get attacked by police and trying to claim the moral high ground. They're fighting against fascism. And really hoping for all the things that will reinforce their narrative, which is Trump is a fascist and he has to be stopped by any means necessary.
And so then what is the third step? First is protest. Second is resistance. What's the unspoken third escalation?
Yeah, well, the third would be to revolution. And the thing is, you know, it's kind of like lighting a fire. Like when you go camping, you can't just strike a match and start lighting big logs on fire. You've got to have kindling, mm-hmm. and then you got to put little sticks on there. And that's what they're doing right now. They're building these national level cadre and these what are basically cells, but we'll call them protest chapters right now or protest groups. All right. So that's kind of like their sustained protest is the foundation of this. And then they can advance to when the time is right, advance to organized resistance in the quote unquote months ahead. So maybe that's 6-12 months from now, but definitely on the backside of the midterms, things are going to go a lot more active. And then finally in 2028, we're looking at the building blocks of an actual color revolution. And there've been probably 20, maybe 15 color revolutions in the last 20 years, and they've all coincided with elections. And so what's clearly going to happen is if the election does not go their way, they're going to contest it. And if that does end up happening, there's a very good chance that we see a Serbia-like, a Ukraine-like national color revolution movement in the United States coinciding with the election. So that's phase three.
And I believe it was you that posted the video. We played it yesterday, so I won't waste your time playing it today. But people can go to your X account at Gray Zone Intel and see the video. And we played it yesterday of people literally choosing the color for their color revolution. they're saying they're going, well, some people like purple because it's kind of half blue, half red. Other people are using yellow and black. I don't know if that's because it's an inversion of white and blue because of the Israeli thing. Why they're choosing these colors, I don't know. But they're literally choosing the color for their coming color revolution. So this isn't speculation. It's not even us imposing things on them. They are genuinely involved in a color revolution. At this point, they're choosing which color that's going to be, which branding they're going to choose for their national revolution. I mean, this is crazy. Where was that video from?
Yeah, it was directly from Invisible. They hold a weekly call, and they post them on YouTube. They may not anymore, but literally anybody can go watch those videos. It's not like they're protected or anything. And a lot of the things they say, they're like, oh, we're doing this out in the open. And which is true. They do a lot of the stuff out in the open because they're not technically violating any laws because they're just a protest organization, Harrison. All they're doing is protesting a fascist government. And again, sometimes I started talking about this last year, even before, like a few days before the election. I said, look, I think Trump's going to win. We're going to see these groups. They're going to try to foment a color revolution. If not in November 2024 into December, then definitely the next election. And so, Indivisible was founded back in 2016. So they've been at this for almost 10 years now. But at the time I said, man, Mike, this sounds really extreme. Like maybe you ought to think twice about saying this stuff and going down this road. But I tell you, you watch these calls and you read their emails and you look at their training guides and they're using very specific language, things like mass political defiance. And that stuff is Gene Sharp, Color Revolution 101, just foundational level color revolution stuff. And so when they're saying the same things, they're building the same building blocks, they're using the same rhetoric. And you go back and you study like the 2000 color revolution in Serbia, they're attacking the same six pillars of the government, or they're about to. If it walks like a duck, talk like a duck, the thing's a duck. It's just a color revolution. Right. We're in the latent and organizing phase of the color revolution, but they're 100%. They're building it. I stake my reputation on it because I talk about it all the time.
Well, and I don't even think it's a risk because you have them on video describing it. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, okay, you cannot believe us, but don't you believe the people that are doing it? I mean, they're telling you they're doing it. So take their word for it if you don't take ours. And in addition to that, we've been seeing, and I played it sort of in combination with this video that you're seeing on screen now. Again, at Gray Zone Intel is where you want to go on X to find that video and follow Mike Shelby. We played along with that a video of basically that all of these unions are all planning a general strike on May Day 2028. And they're saying it's 2028 May Day. It's going to be a general strike. We're going to shut down the economy, basically. And it's all being organized around the UAW, Auto Workers Union, but in that union, they also apparently have unions for like schools, and they're a big part of the teachers, union as well. And right here it is, May Day 2020. I mean, they're saying it. They're saying, we had this great success in 2023 with just UAW, going on strike. What if all the unions went on strike? And they're even getting people in positions in businesses, in corporations and industries that don't have unions in order to unionize so that they can participate in the general strike in 2028. So, I mean, this would be even before the 2028 election. So does this coincide? Does it align with, or is it again running in parallel with the color revolution that we're seeing brew?
Well, strikes are a very important part of a color revolution. Strikes are very popular, along with work slowdowns, and it's worker action.
Right.
And this is something that we started covering this a couple of years ago, actually, at Ford Observer, is Sean Fain, who's the director or president of UAW, he started encouraging unions all across the country to renegotiate the end of their contract expirations on May 1st.
Right.
And he said that, and it's very, very clear. This is obviously what they're doing. They're pushing this general strike. So one thing, real quick, back in 2020, you had these leftists circulating this pamphlet called Choke Points in a Fragile Network. And it's all about how to shut down the U.S. economy. And they're talking about strikes. They're talking about blockades, protests at key ports and rail terminals, the FedEx facility in Memphis. And so and that coincided with the shutdown DC. You remember, you probably saw the Zoom video. I'm sure y'all played here. Yeah. And these people were literally talking about shutting down DC and shutting down the national economy. And the whole theory on this is you do that to build pressure. This is part of a pressure campaign. And you tell Trump, or you tell J.D. Vance, or whatever MAGA Republican, hopefully, who wins the 2028 election, y'all stole the election, and we're going to stop doing this as soon as you step down and mm-hmm. abdicate your presidency. And so it's this whole big pressure campaign, political, social, and economic pressure. That's exactly what they're building. And maybe the general strike lasts. Maybe they want it to last 4 months. I'm not sure. But remember, angry people vote. And so if nothing else, this general strike is a way to mobilize the unions into political activity going into November and getting them to vote and making sure the MAGA candidate does not win.
I mean, that could also backfire. People would be pissed off if they saw this happening, which is why I think they've got more stuff planned. I mean, from their own words, what they're already doing sounds totally illegal to me. They're getting all these unions to all have their contracts end on the same day. And they say, they're like, yeah, we're going to shut down the economy until we get what we want. And it's like, that's just is literally breaking our system entirely. I don't want what they want. They have no right to hijack the economy to make demands for the rest of us. So it's absurd on the face of it. But I have the feeling that they've got other stuff planned as well, that the strike's going to be the kickoff. And then it's going to be a full-fledged revolution, sort of like what you saw in Germany in 1918, where you have it sort of crop up in all these different cities where they take over the municipal government. I think they're planning something very big. And I, again, encourage people to follow Mike Shelby for updates on this, because you really do have your ear to the ground here. And one of the things I love about bringing you on is you have actual, tangible, functional advice to give to people, not just about, you know, generalities, but like what you can actually do. And the thing that I think is so valuable is local intelligence. Can you describe here? We don't have too much time, but what can people be doing now to prepare for whatever comes next?
Sure. Harrison, let me preface this, and if I can, it is so important from a national strategic level that we do not let these color revolutionaries own this color. And as soon as they announce it, we got to have MAGA stuff in that color. We got to have MAGA hats in that color. We got to have bumper stuff. I mean, literally everything. We cannot concede that color to them, because as a symbol, that is so important to their movement. What is a color revolution without their color? Right. So if we can contest that and take that color from them, I think that would be a massive strategic defeat. That's something that we have to engage in that. So please join me in making this a movement, and just do not let them have that color. You know, on the local end, I think basically what we're battling over here is legitimacy. Who is the rightful authority? Who's the rightful president, or whose rules are we going to follow? And the color revolution side is going to say, well, they stole the election again, and we're not going to let him kill democracy. And okay, so we're going to do this, and we're going to fight for the people. And then on the administration side, they're going to say, well, we won the whatever. We're fair and square. So this is a fight for legitimacy. So for you on the local level, one of the things that we all can do is push back on this idea that they're going to say, oh, the Electoral College is antiquated, you know, stuff they've been saying for a couple decades now. But we have to defend the American system. I mean, we really have to defend American elections. We've got to defend the Senate, because that's another thing. They want to change the Senate. They want to pack the Supreme Court. So a big part of our messaging on the local level has to be convincing our friends and family and neighbors not to give in to this color revolution. 18% of counter revolutions since 1900 have been successful, but the ones that have been successful have been against these kind of quote unquote nonviolent democratic revolutions. So I actually am somewhat optimistic that we can defeat this, but we've got to get a ground game. We've got to start punching back strategically, politically, and socially, and informationally. And the fight starts right now, because they're already preparing.
Absolutely. I could not agree more. And of course, Area Intelligence Handbook is your book, and it is literally it's a handbook for area intelligence. And look, there doesn't need to be civil war. It doesn't need to be some, you know, a meteor from outer space. You should know in points and out points of your neighborhood. You should know your neighbors. You should know resources available to you nearby, should a disaster happen, where you can get water, food. It is such a good resource, and it's genuinely just like, people ask me all the time, what can I do? What can I do? This is your homework, folks. Develop area intelligence. Develop, you know, intelligence that you have and a plan for whatever happens next. And then you can relax, and then you can chill, because you at least have your ground bases covered. Thank you so much for coming on. Mike Shelby at Gray Zone Intel on X, website grayzoneresearch.substack.com. That's grayzoneresearch.substack.com. And you can go to Gray Zone Store, and that's gray spelled G-R-A-Y, G-R-A-Y, Zone Intel on X. Mike Shelby, thank you so much for being here with us, and I'm sure we'll check in with you again soon.
Thank you, brother. Keep up the fight.
Same to you, sir. Folks, it's, we can hope that the federal government does their job and deals with these domestic terrorists, but no matter what, we should be prepared for any inevitability coming forward. We'll be right back.
So you were just telling me that you had a brain disease.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I was in a wheelchair. That methylene blue, I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it. And I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I started taking it. And boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
It is a miracle. It's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the methylene blue. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
I used to have to take, $10,000 a week?
Right.
To get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take two pills or drink it once a day
right. And
pay what? I don't know, $30, $40 a bottle of it?
Depends on what the sale is, yeah.
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah!
I'm not paid to say this, not one dime. This is the best product you guys have ever had. You guys got to order it at the AlexJonesStore.com.
Our methylene blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. This stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene blue works for me.
I feel it in my head and neck too. My brain's going really fast. I really like it.
Unlimited power!
Volunteer power!
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
I do feel like it's eliminated the brain fog a lot.
I do subscribe to the methylene blue. I feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the methylene blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing. I'm jacked up on the methylene blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had. Please go to the Alex Jones.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Thursday evening. We still have a lot of videos to show you, stories to tell you, conspiracies to unravel. But I want to go to, again, the video I was hinting at earlier. This is Tucker Carlson talking about the ADL. And I just, you know, how you doing, Tucker? How you doing? I assume you're watching right now because I don't know. I cover stuff and then 3 days later, I see people like Tucker Carlson saying more or less exactly what I said. Maybe we're all just aligned spiritually. Maybe that's what it is. That's probably what it is, to be honest with you. But I still feel a little shock of excitement when I'm like, oh, yeah, this is what I said 3 days ago. Now Tucker Carlson's making it. Just when we say InfoWars Tomorrow's News Today, it's InfoWars Political Philosophy Today. Tomorrow's Political Philosophy Today. Political Interpretations Today. Tomorrow's targets identified and eliminated today. Let's go to clip number 7 here. Tucker Carlson sounds an awful lot like your good friend Harrison about the ADL. Let's listen.
ADL considers hate speech. Hate speech, another one of those terms never quite defined. But the ADL has actually taken the time to define it. What do they consider hate speech? Well, among other things, complaining about drag queen story hour is hate speech, according to the ADL. Huh. Not being enthusiastic about the COVID vax. That's hate speech, and it's dangerous. Noticing that the American population has changed completely in the past 30 years thanks to immigration, that's dangerous hate speech. You should be punished for that, for noticing in your country that you were born in. No noticing. You can't notice that it looks completely different because of decisions that someone who never consulted you made without your knowledge. Shut up, says the ADL. You not only don't have the right to speak, we're going to scream at you and call you a Nazi and imply that you are the dangerous one, the people who opened up the borders to 50 million foreigners. But you're the dangerous one. Sure. You know what else is hate speech, by the way?
Oh, by the way, the ADL is one who trains the FBI. So, you know, it's not just a suggestion. It's not just some group out there making lists that the people they don't like. Their opinion, their position then becomes official policy carried out by the FBI. There's a reason that the left wing has been able to get away with what they've gotten away with. It's the ADL and it's AIPAC and it's other, you know, influential organizations who are on the left wing or at the very least are working with the control freaks to systematically eliminate the mindsets that oppose them. Basically is what it actually comes down to. And it's funny, the video of me explaining that's gone kind of viral today. Alex played it earlier on his show where I'm explaining like, yeah, there's a racial aspect to this. And look, that might make you uncomfortable. You might think, you know, I don't like judging people that way because it's true. It's absolutely true. Everybody of every race, color, and creed has, you know, their own views. And I've met you know, Jews that are more patriotic than my Christian friends. There's no one size fits all for any group. That's absolutely true. But it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what I think. The people in power think that white people are the biggest barrier to their control. And so they're being eliminated. And that's borne out historically. It's just a fact. There's a reason that the very concepts of like human rights, freedom of speech, this type of stuff came out of Western Europe. It didn't crop up elsewhere at the same time. Sometimes that phenomenon happens. Certain ideas appear randomly at different parts of the world throughout history. That can happen, but that didn't really happen. It's just Western Europe. And of course, I explained that if you look at, you know, voting patterns by statistical, based on statistics, again, not on individuals, you see that there's really only one group of people that will vote to lower the power of the government or vote for more, you know, independence and individuality. And it happens to be white people, in particular white men. And so, of course, they are the number one target of the tyrants, obviously, because put yourself in any situation where you feel as though you are in combat with another force. Who are you going to take out first, the weakest people or the strongest people? The biggest threat to you or the least threat to you? No, you go after the biggest threat to the people that want the entire world to be in a permanent state of slavery. They want to destroy the people who feel a historical obligation to stand up for our rights, our system, our way of life. And it doesn't matter if you think that that is bigoted, if you think that that is wrongheaded, but too bad, you're not the one in charge. And they believe that very, very much so. And they will tell you if you know how to read between the lines. Again, there's a reason and it's all kind of convoluted, but because it's sort of like, okay, is it that they hate white people? And so, but they claim that, you know, but they make this claim in order to justify their hatred of white people, or do they hate the freedom and then are attaching it to white people so they can demonize that to take them out. You know, it could sort of go either way, but eventually what you come to is things like the, you know, presentation put together by the Smithsonian that says, what are aspects of white supremacy? Things like being a republic, things like picking yourself up from your bootstraps, personal responsibility, being on time. It's like, okay, so you've just listed out a bunch of like really good things that make people strong, and you've declared them white supremacy, and so therefore they must be destroyed. So all the things that make us powerful, that make us resilient, that make us withstand oppression, those are bad aspects of white supremacy and have to be destroyed. And if you don't agree, then that means you're a Nazi. It's a very simple, you know, sleight of hand they're pulling here. We don't have to fall for it, but we should be aware of it. And again, it doesn't matter if you think that that's, you know, unfair or whatever. It doesn't matter. That's what these people think, and that's why they're acting the way that they're acting. And I, for one, think, you know, they kind of have a point. But clearly that's what's motivating so many of them. And in fact, you can find, you know, articles or statements from the people doing it. I had the story yesterday where there was a leak from the UK early on in the migrant crisis. They basically were openly saying, they're like, yeah, we're doing this to punish the white people. Like, we just, you know, the conservatives are mostly all old, you know, white fogies, and we want to do things that make them mad. So we're bringing in millions and millions of foreigners because we know they hate that. And it's just like, what a vicious, spiteful, like, that's the way you operate your government? What is wrong with you? Now, there's a bunch of things wrong with them, and, you know, we can get into some of that. Hell, you've got pregnant women chugging Tylenol to the point that they're killing themselves just because Trump asked them not to. So, like, that's the type of, you know, mindset we're dealing with here. But on the topic of immigration into the UK, don't worry, folks. They've got a plan to stop it. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're probably thinking, what do you mean they have a plan to stop it? They just have to stop it. It's people coming over in rubber dinghies from France. Actually, all they have to really do is not help them. Actually, if they just stopped going out and picking them up and bringing them in, half of them would just drown anyway. There is nothing that really needs to be done to stop them other than stopping them. It's just beyond simple. And we've, you know, experienced this over and over and over again with immigration ourselves. Oh, you know, the border is closed. The border's not open. That's ridiculous. Well, okay, the border is pretty open, but that's only because we haven't passed the new bill. And actually, it's Trump's fault that Congress hasn't passed that bill. So it's Trump's fault. We can't pass the bill. He can't pass the bill. Can't close the border. What are we supposed to do? Millions upon millions of people pouring in. Trump gets into office, says close the border. The border gates shut. Nobody comes in. It is offensive that they keep pretending like they can't solve the problems that they can very easily solve. I actually started talking about this yesterday, and I never actually finished my point. There's a meme. It's very funny to me. It's the switch that fixes everything. And it's just like a picture of a light switch on a wall. And it's like, you know, you press this switch and it solves all your problems. And then all around it are all these statements like, oh, are you sure? It's really mean to press the switch. We can't just press a switch. What are you talking about? And it's like, that really is the sort of like level of problems that we're dealing with. It's like, got crime. What are we supposed to do? I don't know. Throw them in prison. Done. We're problem solved. Oh, the border. What are we supposed to do? Well, close it. There you go. I solved your problem again. All of the problems, the real existential problems, the big, big issues that are tearing our country apart are choices being made. They're not problems. They're attacks. They aren't mistakes. They're subversion. And so all it is a matter of will to stop the boats going into England that they could do at any point, at any time. They could stop the boats in France before they ever get on the boat. They could stop the boat once it's in the water. Once they land, they could arrest them and put them back on a boat and send them back. At any point of this process, they can intercede and stop this. Period. That's it. Done. It stopped. That's not what they're doing. Instead, they're actually introducing a digital ID. A digital ID. That'll stop the boats. And they do this over and over. I've still never found it. Maybe one of the audience, if you can find this and tag me on Twitter at Harrison H. Smith, there was a Coast to Coast episode with Art Bell in the like mid-90s. And he's talking, oh, I'm sure you can find it lots of places. But the argument at the time was, this illegal immigration thing is really a big deal. We need real ID to solve it. And so they pass real ID. We all get a real ID, and immigration, of course, explodes. It doesn't even, you know, stop, let alone reverse. No, it continues forward and actually gets worse. The problem expands and grows and gets worse and worse and worse the more it goes on. And then they just do it again. So, I mean, you know, sometimes you look back in, at conspiracies and you maybe have to bend it a little bit to make it fit perfectly in the problem reaction solution. But this is as clear cut as you could ever get. Problem, influx of migrants. Reaction, oh my God, there's migrants. We have to do something to stop this. Solution, digital ID. And then the twist to the Hegelian dialectic, to the problem reaction solution paradigm, is there's a fourth step, which is the problem gets worse, which is the solution that's provided not only doesn't solve the problem, but also causes a bunch of other problems, you know, in its wake. And the original problem only gets worse. So, like, it would be one thing, like, problem, reaction, solution. It should really be problem, reaction, pretend solution. Problem, reaction, fake solution, problem again. More problems. That's the real Hegelian dialectic they're working with now, because they don't even have to provide a solution. They just claim it's what they're doing, and then they do whatever they want anyway. It's kind of like when they pass a climate change bill that's, or an infrastructure bill that's all about climate change. You know, it's like they just don't care anymore, you know. The problem, the infrastructure is collapsing. The reaction, hey, we need money to, you know, fix the infrastructure. The so-called solution is to send a bunch of money to solar panel farms that shut down in 3 years. It's not a solution. Problem, reaction, more problems. That's actually the Hegelian dialectic we now find ourselves in. And I believe I have a video of this. It is the PM of... I'm sorry, it's clip number four here. The UK to introduce mandatory government-issued digital ID, because that's what you need, I guess, to stop dinghies from coming into your country on a daily basis. Does that make any sense to you? It shouldn't. It's a trick. Don't fall for it. Let's watch.
Breaking news now. Digital ID will be made law for all adults in an effort to tackle small boats. Downing Street believes that a mandatory ID card system will help stop illegal immigrants working. Let's bring in our political correspondent, Mari Arora. Mari, what more do we know about this?
Yeah, well, Gareth, this is interesting because this is something that has been spoken about a lot. Tony Blair, for instance, has been talking about this for years and years as what he always believed was one of the best ways to try and reduce illegal immigration and the ability for people to work illegally here in the UK. But Sky News understands that we will have an announcement, could be as soon as tomorrow, from the Prime Minister on these mandatory ID cards, an ID card system, the Brit card. And essentially what this will mean, it will be mandatory for all adults here in the UK. It will make it easier for employers and for landlords to make sure that those they are employing or renting or to actually have the right legal immigration status here in the UK. They can do it using a smartphone app. It's also, according to the government, going to make it easier for people here in the UK to essentially prove their status or their ability to kind of qualify to be able to work here in the UK. And essentially, this is all about immigration. This is all about trying to tackle small boats crossings.
Oh, I'm sure.
We've had a lot of conversation about small boats and about other European countries, especially the French, who have been concerned with the kind of pull factors here in the UK in terms of being able to work in the black market, being able to work illegally here in the UK.
All right, let's just take it down. I mean, it is beyond ridiculous. It's beyond absurd. These people are not sneaking into Britain and then working, you know, off the, you know, under the table. No, they're being brought. I mean, that is a UK boat. That is a British Navy vessel. All of the migrants, all adult men, by the way, thousands of them on practically a daily basis. I don't know if the crew can find it. A few days ago, I had a video of like one of these boats landing and you just see this stream of like 1,000 men. And they're men. They're all 25 to 35 year old and they're all men and they come streaming up the, you know, picturesque, you know, UK, road. Brit card digital ID under Starmer plan to tackle illegal immigration. It's just, it is actually like insulting. I mean, if you, is what I mean. I mean, I would genuinely rather be under the Nazis. The Nazis, I don't think, would lie like this. I think they would just say, no, we're oppressing you. No, we're going to step on your neck because you're a subject and we're the rulers. You're going to do what we say. And we say we need a digital ID so we can track you and make sure that you aren't disobeying us. And hey, then it'd be like, at least you're telling us the truth. Hey, that's a refreshing amount of honesty. It's like worse to be under the same amount of oppression, but they tell you it's to tackle immigrants because we just care so much about that topic. They let in millions upon millions upon millions of men. They make it illegal to oppose that by making hate speech laws and claim you're Islamophobic. There's the video. Thank you, crew. Oh, here they are. Oh, the poor refugees in their designer clothes with their cell phones throwing their gang signs. Oh, won't somebody help them? How do we stop this? However, could we stop this? What could we do? Oh, but I'm sure, you know, as soon as they all try to get a job and they aren't legal, they'll be sent home, right? You know, what's going to happen when all of them show up at the, I don't know, hotel that's been purchased for them by the, you know, British government? Do you think they don't know they're illegal? They bought the hotel for the illegals. It's just, again, I feel like I'm almost like insulting your intelligence by even addressing the claims these people make. It is so patently absurd. And when something is absurd like that, it's because there's a real motive that's being concealed. I know this is kind of obvious, but it's just worth repeating. When somebody's lying, there's a reason they're lying. I don't need a reason to tell the truth. The truth is the reason. When somebody is telling you an obviously fallacious thing, what you need to ask is why, what are they really concealing? What is the truth they're not telling me? And the truth in that case is just as obvious as the nose on your face. They're replacing the UK population. They're going to start a war. They're going to sacrifice the UK population by conscripting them. They just launched the age verification program, ostensibly to stop kids from accessing suicide sites, whatever the hell that means, while simultaneously instituting a digital ID, ostensibly to stop the migration that they have deliberately allowed for 10 plus years and are allowing to this very minute. I mean, does anybody need to explain? I mean, it's an insult. They're lying. They know they're lying. We know they're lying. They know we know they're lying, but they're spitting in our face, okay? Just beyond absurd. And you should be concerned that all of these things are happening at once. All of these things are coalescing at this very moment where they're trying to start World War III. Every EU country is instituting massively restrictive speech laws. Remember, the UK imprisons something like 12,000 people a year for their speech. Compare that to 3,000 jailed in Russia, and Russia has twice the population. They're doing the digital ID. They're moving towards a digital euro. They're trying to start a war, and they're crushing all of the, you know, right-wing resistance by sending people to jail for protesting. You have to stop them. You have to stop. I mean, the one takeaway I think that sort of serves as a through line between all of the stories that we're covering. We have to stop them. Is that an obvious thing to say? Apparently not. Ted Cruz is out there asking them to stop. That's not what I said. I didn't say ask them. I said stop them. I mean, it is like at this point, the absurdity that it rises to is like you're playing football and you all go in the huddle, the defensive huddle, and you get the play and they go, okay, we're not going to block. We're going to ask them not to score a touchdown. Is that going to work, do you think? I mean, how effective do you think that would be? How effective do you think it'd be if the whole defensive line lined up, the ball is hiked, and instead of charging in and smashing into your opponent, everybody stands up and stands back and goes, guys, can you not score? Look, we just don't want you to score. And he's still running. No, we really don't want you to. He won't stop. Ah, darn it. Shoot. Okay. They scored again. I mean, that's what we're dealing with at this point. They're asking their enemies not to score a touchdown. They're asking their enemies not to keep attacking them. And the enemies are looking in the eye and going, no, we're going to keep attacking you. And they go, we asked. No, we asked them to stop. And they are not stopping. It's like, yes, duh. You have to stop them. You have to stop Antifa. You have to stop the migrants. You have to stop the war. You have to stop. You have to intercede, interdict. Again, you would think this is obvious, but nobody else seems to be taking this position except for people on the internet, people on the far right. But you ask Republican politicians, they all seem to be operating under the delusion that simply asking your enemies to stop killing you is going to work. It's like really disgusting, actually. My God, I mean, there's just so much. There's so much news. I would never be able to get to all of it. Hillary Clinton warns that allowing free speech on social media means, quote, we lose control. Yes, we know. That's why we want it. No, that's why it's the best thing ever in our First Amendment. Amazon to pay $2.5 billion to settle federal claims it misled Prime members. Justice Department official pushes prosecutors to investigate George Soros' foundation. We heard that from Trump earlier. Microsoft, meanwhile, has cut off its cloud services to Israel military unit after reports of storing Palestinians' phone calls. They were apparently storing 2 million a day since 2022. Students charged with hate crime after pork is tossed into Jewish fraternity on Rosh Hashanah. You believe that? Hate crime charges for a gift, for offering a gift. And it really just goes on and on. Not sure why this story isn't constant front page news. Florida oranges have been devastated to the point of the industry's eradication. If this happens to one of our staple crops, a lot of people in the world will probably starve. Food for thought. And do we even realize this? When I was coming up, Florida oranges were like a big deal. They were a big thing. And there was a big Rush Limbaugh controversy because Florida orange juice sponsored Rush Limbaugh and it became this big thing. Despite hopeful predictions, the state sold just a little over 12 million boxes of the citrus fruit, a sharp decline from 150 million in the early 2000s. The problem is the invasive Asian citrus psyllid detected back in 1998, which spreads through the citrus greening disease. Nobody knows how it got here. Nothing we've tried has been able to stop it. And now it's clear we have bigger problems than we realized. And of course, our country relies on three main crops, corn, wheat, and soy. And if one of those were to be affected in the way that Florida oranges have been by this mysterious biological disease that happened to come from China, then it would cause massive widespread starvation across the entire world. And of course, collapse America without ever having to fire a shot. So we should probably be concerned about that. Also concerning, global cancer explosion. Deaths are set to soar by 75% by 2050, with hundreds of thousands of Britons struck down every year. What could cause this astonishing rise in cancer? Well, it's certainly not the jab, and you'll go to jail for asking that question. And in fact, the solution to this cancer crisis, probably doctor-assisted suicide, if I had to guess. They're desperately trying to pass that through the UK Parliament. I'm telling you, the world's just getting crazier and crazier. Folks, go to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure that InfoWars can continue to be, against all odds, a rock, a foundation of sanity in a world gone mad. We'll be back here tomorrow with more news.
Feel the unstoppable power of Alex Jones, fueled by Ultimate Creatine Powder. This is the secret weapon behind his relentless energy. Creatine monohydrate ignites his muscles, blasting through lefts and sprints with raw warrior strength, building the physique of a true patriot. With micronized mixability, Alex dominates every day, recovering like a titan to crush fatigue and soar to new heights of performance. His mind becomes a fortress, sharper focus, unbreakable memory, powered by creatine to outlast any mental battle. This nootropic powerhouse defends against fatigue, keeping Alex Jones razor sharp for the fight. Join him and unleash your inner strength. Grab Ultimate Creatine Powder now at thealexjonesstore.com. Fuel your fight and rise with Alex Jones today.
That's pure gold. I'd have in between, like, maybe the creatine zooming in a little. It's coming towards you. But also, since there's 30 seconds left, you can have me go, baka chucka woom bok quack, 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 whatever it is. You know, that little, ooga chucka munga bok, woom, cock, cock. That'd be really good.